This week, Hello Games pushed a No Man's Sky feature update, features that Hello Games undoubtedly hopes will restore play hours and re-engage players. And that's just the tip of the week's gaming news. Stay tuned for this and more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of Orange Lounge Radio, the show where every gamer has a voice. It is episode number 667 tonight for this November the 27th of 2016, and we here at OLR hope y'all had a happy and safe Thanksgiving, at least those of you in the States, those of you abroad in other countries. Well, I hope you had a good week. I hope you had fun watching all those clips of people beating each other up for toasters on Black Friday sales. But meanwhile, we'll talk about any video game deals maybe we got or you guys got in our chat room. Live here in our studio, Studio N7 in lovely Sacramento, California, is myself, Rob Roberts. And joining me by my side, as he always is, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah. I got a bit of a cold, but it's not bad.
I have like a little bit, like I was really sick like a few weeks ago. You guys probably remember that because I think I missed a show because of it. But yeah, I feel like I another cold might be trying to come in, but it kind of can't, maybe because my body's still...
It's just minor, like, just stuffed up.
Yeah. That's it. Well, I should mention Dark Sakura, even though you guys know she's been on leave, she was actually going to try to be here tonight. She had got the night off work and everything, but she actually got really sick, like, had to go to the doctor and get pills type of sick. So if she's out there listening, hope you feel better soon, Dark Sakura. Sorry, she couldn't be here when she thought she could be, but she will be joining us after her work conflict ends mid-December. So I think her first show back will be December 18th. Hopefully we'll bring her to you via Radio Magic for a couple of episodes in between. But for now, you're stuck with just Loki and I, so deal with it.
Yep.
Did you get caught up in any of the shopping stuff? You probably don't really do that stuff, right?
Really, I didn't. I mean, the only thing I was going to do, because I've been meaning to replace it for a while, is I replaced my Boxy, basically my streaming device, which I was looking at maybe getting like Roku or something. And mainly because, I mean, we were using Netflix on the PlayStation, but I wanted to use that for games instead.
Right. You talked a little bit about this conflict, I think, last week on the show or the week before.
So I was looking at a Roku, and I almost got one of the Roku premieres, but I ended up going with, it's called ironically, a My Box or Mi Box or something. I think it's My Box is how they pronounce it. And it's basically an Android TV device, which is cool because, you know, I have an Android, account, a Google account, and it runs pretty well. So, I mean, you could put games on it, apparently. I've not tried to do that yet. But for Netflix, it works pretty awesome. It's also got that Pluto TV, which has an Mystery Science Theater, actually several Mystery Science Theater 3000 channels. They're live streaming all the time. I this is fantastic.
I have never heard of Pluto TV.
Yeah, Pluto TV. It's an app. It's just like a live streaming app, and they have like different streams for all sorts of stuff. Like they have stand-up comedy. They have like an IGN one. They have one that's like video games, but it was weird because it was like, I think it was playing some really old videos because they were like showing like talking about the upcoming Lost Odyssey 3, or not Lost Odyssey 3, Lost Planet 3 or something like that. I'm like, that's pretty old.
Okay, so it's like old stuff, like G4 reruns or
like
something.
That one, yeah, that was, yeah. But it had Mystery Science Theater 3000. I mean, a few channels of that. And what's kind of cool about it, though, is like I was looking at maybe doing Sling with it. The only thing, because it comes with 2 months free for Sling, and with that, it has live streams as well, live, channels, because they're cable channels. But what's cool about it, in the Android TV, is you can mix and match these live streams. So, like, there's actually a live TV or live channel app, and you can say, okay, I want to pull the streams from this Pluto TV, and I also want, like, actual cable channels in there, and I want this other stuff. So you can mix, like, the Mystery Science Theater 3000, channel with TNT and Comedy Central and all sorts of stuff. So it's, like, pretty cool. That's, like, kind of what I wanted. Problem is that live streaming, or that live app doesn't quite work, but the individual apps work, so... I'm probably going to end up picking up Hulu because
there's so many. I'm sorry, but there's so many of these like individual streaming apps now. It's like I remember when it was like Netflix and Hulu, and that's really it. But now it seems like everybody wants a piece of this. This is what I was afraid of.
Yeah,
HBO got one and Showtime.
What's nice about Pluto? It's free.
Well, okay, so, that's good.
So
it sounds like it's just drawing from all these existing like internet streams.
I think it is.
Stuff.
It's just an aggregate, but
like TuneIn or something.
It works really nice. It actually, you know what? I'm not sure if it is pulling from all this, but it's got like, you know, between each like episode, it has commercials, like actual commercials, and it also like it looks fancy. It looks like you're watching a TV channel. So I'm not really sure what it is, but it works cool.
That's cool.
And, you know, the remote's neat and stuff, has like voice search and stuff like that. And I think it's just like it's a nice little compact box, and it wasn't that expensive. So I'm pretty satisfied with it. And I also removed all the bloat off of it, you know, before messed with stuff. So,
and what was it called? My Box. So somebody in chat
was called asking. It's called a My Box or Mi Box. It's some Chinese company. They sell them at like Walmart. That's why I bought it. And it was the same. It was $10 cheaper than the Roku Premiere, which feature-wise is pretty similar.
Okay.
So, and plus, you know, Walmart was doing a special where they gave you 2 months of Sling, but normally when they're not doing that, this still comes with 2 months of Sling. So that's $50 right there.
Wow. There's still so many. And I got suckered into another one. You know, I subscribed to CBS All Access now, and I only did it so I could watch freaking Big Brother Over the Top. Which
comes with
has kind of ended as a flop season.
It comes with a free month of that, by the way.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bummer.
So a free month of that.
Wait to cash that in until they do Star Trek Discovery at this point.
I don't really care, but I'm probably going to do Hulu because it's like, you know, another $8. And I may do Sling because it's $25. And right there, those two were basically what I was getting with PlayStation View, which I have canceled because they removed all the good channels off of it. Comedy Central's gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's some deal that fell through, and so they removed all these like Viacom channels. I'm like, fuck that. I was watching Comedy Central. That's really what I wanted it from.
Yeah.
And it's not there anymore. I'm like, nope, I'm not going back. So, yeah, I mean, it looks cool.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to see it. Sounds like maybe you've hopefully found a box to mediate the TV and game situation in your home.
Yes, I have.
Good. Glad to hear it. Let's see. Kaijudo in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com arguing with me saying, Big Brother Over the Top is not a flop just because Justin is in bed. This is an epic season. It's the best Big Brother in a long time. No, I actually agree. It was an amazing Big Brother, but it's like I'm not very inspired by who's left in the game. I would like Justin to win out of who's left.
And also the other thing I was going to mention too, it is 4K capable as well. That's one of the reasons I purchased it, because eventually I am going to get a 4K TV, and that's why I was between the Premiere, the Roku Premiere, or this, because they both output the 4K.
Akuma JP in our chat room, again, over at live.vognetwork.com, and just a quick plug, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com. Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show. Akuma JP's in chat, and if you are listening, you should join our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. Akuma says, stupid people here, even though we have Black Friday, but they, or even though... I think that's we don't have Black Friday because in Japan they don't, you know, Thanksgiving is not as it is here in the States. So stupid people here, even though we don't have Black Friday, but they make Black Friday sales anyway. I heard that was a thing, that more and more countries are trying to kind of get on the Black Friday thing. In fact, I thought I saw a video and it was trying to be a very like tongue-in-cheek sort of thing where it was like, look at this Black Friday chaos in Canada. And it was just all these people casually walking into a Best Buy like, you know, oh, hello, how do you do?
Accidentally bump into you. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry.
And then the Best Buy people applauding. It was like really funny with the Tim Hortons cups and everything. It was like really funny, you know. But obviously Canada's Thanksgiving is weeks earlier, and my understanding is that Canada has Boxing Day after Christmas, which was a similar sort of thing, but now I guess one day isn't enough. They have to get in on Black Friday as well.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, all the stores are getting in on Black Friday, and it's like cyber – it's like – I don't know what they call it, like Cyber Week or Thanksgiving.
Monday now is
– No, I understand it's Cyber Monday, but they've been doing like this Black Friday thing like all week, so it's – It's not just that. I mean, I don't know what you call cyber discount. I don't know what they're calling it, cyber week or something. But yeah, it's they keep extending it like they do Christmas. Eventually, it's going to be Black Friday from July on or whatever.
I'll be interested to see how the sales numbers look, because I'll tell you what. Yesterday, Saturday, I went on a little road trip with Shane and Extifer, you know, two pals of mine that you probably know from other shows on Vogue Network. And we went up to a town a couple hours north of here called Chico. because there's this really good Mongolian barbecue place there that we wanted to eat at. And, you know, some of their stores, because they're not as trafficked as stores, say, in Sacramento and stuff, Shane really likes to look for his Power Ranger stuff, which if you listen to a show, the Ranger Pridecast, you know all about his collecting. So anyway, we went to the Target up there and the Toys R Us up there. And I got to say, especially considering it was Saturday on this big sale weekend, like it wasn't that crowded at all. Like it was... It was maybe like a busy evening or something.
Well, I think a lot of people, if they're going to those Black Friday sales, they're going like first thing when
on
it opens,
Thursday,
but it's died down.
Well, but here's the thing. When we were walking through not just Target but Walmart as well, they still had a ton of the TVs that were the deep discount, like the stuff you would expect would be the first thing gone. Like even I had that moment of, should I just get one of these $500 TVs because it's right there in front of my face and I do need a 4K TV? But then Rational Rob spoke up and said, no, idiot, you just dropped, you know, $1,200 on a TV this year and it's your own damn fault that you missed the 4K bus. So I'm going to wait a little longer for allowing myself a new TV. But
they'll only get cheaper.
Tempting.
And they're only going to get better, too.
That's very true. So... I just thought that was interesting that I didn't really notice a lot of traffic, and even at the stores, you know, granted what you said is that, you know, most of it was probably Thursday, Friday, it still seemed like there was a lot of merchandise. Granted, I was in a different town where maybe it's flow of traffic.
I didn't buy, like, I mean, I don't have a lot of extra money to go spend on stuff like that. I mean, definitely I'm looking at 4K TVs, and some of them are even pretty inexpensive, like $300, $400 for basically the same size TV I have now. I'm like, maybe. I mean, it's something I'll get later on when I have something that really uses that. I mean, granted, you know, the streaming thing does it, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm more of looking at it like a game console or something like that. But yeah, I did a lot. I mean, most of my shopping was online, and it was mostly on the PlayStation Network.
You know, and I think that's where a lot of people are going is online. I think that has a lot of retailers kind of creeped out. You know, VidPower in chat says DualShock 4s are $34 on Amazon right now. That matches the deal Best Buy was having, right? I think Amazon like just matches a lot of what these other Black Friday deals are. And so, you know, people are like, they see the videos online. Maybe if all the videos looked like the video in Canada, people wouldn't be so adverse to going to the store. But no, we see the videos of people in Walmart, like, dogpiling on each other, fighting for a TV and all this, like, crazy stuff. And you're like, nope, I want no part of that. I'm not going out with that. I will just click the buy it now on Amazon. That's much easier. And so, I don't know, maybe retailers will have to do something to make the experience a little more like it is in Canada. Make people behave. I don't know. I don't know how a retailer does that.
I agree. I mean, I think now that with so many online options, a lot of people aren't going to stores because unless there's something that they really want. And a lot of the times that, you know, they know what the deals are going to be ahead of time, which is nice. So you know whether it's worth it going out there. And a lot of it you can just kind of compare online before you even mess with it. It's just so easy to go online, especially now with Cyber Monday. There's going to be even more stuff. So
yeah,
why bother?
Yeah.
Plus, I'm not going to the store. Fuck that.
I don't really have an extensive Christmas list. And, you know, the people that I would buy gifts for, I don't think I would buy televisions for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like maybe my mother, if she strongly hinted she wanted one, I would buy her a new TV. But that's about it. You know what I mean? I don't usually have that kind of budget to spend that kind of money, you know? And Alan and I kind of... We don't really go all out for holidays because, like, we're just the type of household where if we see something, we buy it, you know?
Yeah.
We don't wait till December 25th. I don't know. Anyway, but every household's different, for sure. Anyway, let's move on. We spent a good time talking about Black Friday, but the real kickoff topic I wanted to talk about tonight is, you know, it has been a slower news week because of the holiday in the States. You don't have, you know, the news cycle pretty much came to an abrupt stop on Thursday and Friday. There wasn't as much coverage of what was going on. But, you know, we are on the eve of a major, major game release coming up this week, at least of a series that I have a lot of, you know, love for, and that's Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy 15 finally releasing Tuesday. Some people lucky enough to get it early. I've really tried to stay away from all that stuff. I haven't been watching any live streams or YouTubes, just outside of, you know, the stuff that was out there a couple months ago when Square did their big reveal of the release date that they didn't even make and all that stuff that was out there. So, you know, I've kind of been taking the the concept of what happened with No Man's Sky, which I really know is ironic here because we do a podcast about video games, but I think we can still temper our expectations and not buy into hype a lot. Even
well, that's the thing
podcast.
Is, like, I haven't been hyped about it, and I didn't, like, honestly, even I'm still picking it up because it's Final Fantasy, and I like Final Fantasy.
That's where I'm
games,
at too.
And, but like
I think there's something you just have to admit. Yes, I'm buying it just because it's.
But
Final
the
Fantasy.
Combat system, I was just kind of like, I really don't care for this too much, but I'll try it.
But Final Fantasy, like, it's just such a legendary series to me. I mean, I'm not just talking about the fact that I play 14 probably more than any other game right now, but I'm talking about the fact, like, this goes back to playing on the NES with my best friend at the time, and we could get all the way to Tiamat, which is, like, towards the end of the game. We could not beat that motherfucker for all it's worth and everything we tried. Like, I remember getting very frustrated with that, and then playing Final Fantasy II, which, yes, I know is really Final Fantasy IV, but I'm sorry. Certain things I'm just tied to, but playing Final Fantasy II on the Super Nintendo, you know, and playing through that whole experience, you know, a little more on my own, but the story in that game, just phenomenal, you know, for video games just didn't have stories like that at the time. It was very, very rare to go that deep. And then that was a tradition that continued with Final Fantasy III, or yes, Final Fantasy VI. But, you know, wow, I mean, those games, like, blew me away as a kid. So it just made me a fan of the series for life, I think, in many ways.
Well, and, you know, here's my gripe about some of the Final Fantasy games as of late. The stories are so damn hard to follow. Like, 13, like, it was just like, here's this, let me just vomit, like, the whole lore in front of your face. And, like, you just can't follow any of the fucking thing. And even at the end, you kind of have, like, a better idea. But it's so hard to follow, and like, I mean, the demo for Final Fantasy 15 kind of is the same way. It's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. So they broke down their car. Why are they doing all this shit? Why? Hey, my car broke down. Let's go kill those deer over there. I mean, that's kind of like the equivalent of that. It's like,
that's what people do, Loki.
It's just like, man, I'm tired of waiting for my car. Let's go break that animal's neck. I mean, it's like, I don't know. But whatever. It's Final Fantasy. I'll check it out. But I don't know what the fuck's going on in this game. And, like, I know that they have, like, a prequel movie. It's like, do I have to fucking watch the movie in order to understand what's going on in this game? I mean, I don't know. So I just hope that going into it that the story's laid out better than 13. Because 13, I still don't know what the fuck. I didn't finish it, but I still know what the fuck was going on. I confused the hell out of everything.
Then don't play, for the love of God, don't play the sequel. Because then they introduce time hopping into it. And it's just like, you'll go cross-eyed. Because now, not only, but now, but this happened in the future, and this happened in the past, and then when this happens in the past, it affects this in the future, and just, yeah, you'll go crazy. You'll go absolutely crazy. Anyway, all that joking aside, yeah, I'm really just trying to not, like, expect too much from the game and read too much in the story so that hopefully it will all kind of come together when the game comes out. Although, I know people, and I feel the same way, is that I understand that Final Fantasy 15 has an anime behind it. Right, there's that whole Brotherhood, like an hour of YouTube.
It looked cool. Right? Yeah, I watched the 12-minute clip of it.
And then there's the movie, but it's like I really.
Oh, wait. So there's the movie and the animated.
Yeah,
thing?
There's both. There's a fully.
Oh my God.
There's a fully CGI movie as well.
Yeah, it's a movie, is what I saw 12 minutes.
Okay.
Of.
Yeah, so there's also an anime. Yeah, and there's all these side cell phone games and all this stuff. But my point is that I really hope that stuff is not required to understand the game. That stuff, if it's good, should enhance the game. And that's one thing that kind of bugged me about World of Warcraft sometimes, is that, like, major things that happen between patch to patch, well, if you wanted to know what happened, you have to read the book. And it's like, I don't want to read the book. I don't want to read. Like, I'm playing a video game. Show me. You know, it's just, that kind of stuff is very frustrating. So I hope that doesn't happen in Final Fantasy 15. But we'll see. Anyway. Also should be pointed out, you know, Final Fantasy 15, they are going to be getting a day one patch after all. I thought the delay was to prevent a day one patch. I thought that was the whole reason they pushed it back.
Well, but it was to, I mean, they're going to fix everything, but then it's always fixing stuff. So they'll reduce the size of the patch.
Maybe. I'm thinking the day one stuff is an enhancement patch, or what they're calling the crown update. And they're saying it's going to add features to the game to make up for forcing everyone to wait longer for the game to come out. So there's an improved camera for narrow areas. Something, the wait mode feature gets expanded a little bit. Which is the whole fact that you can actually set the game to pause so that it's not so fast.
And I guess yes, feels, please.
Yeah,
I'm old. I can't.
I know, right?
My well, reaction it wasn't time that I'm like old, but it's just, it's. I like the turn-based system. I don't know what all the haters were, you know, hating on the turn-based system, but I love it. And that's why I liked Lost Odyssey, because it was the turn-based system.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah. A monster flute that will summon monsters, more fish, and more recipes. And you can upload pictures that Prompto takes directly to Facebook and Twitter for all that social media
okay, I mean,
hype.
Does every fucking game need to have like fishing and fucking selfies and shit in it? I mean, come on.
Now, what I thought was also interesting is that...
is he a character that you control? Because that'd be pretty awesome if it's just an AI character that's
no,
taking pictures.
No, Prompto's one of the bros.
Right, I understand that. But it'd be awesome if it was just, you know, he's AI controlling, he's taking pictures of shit, and it's... You know.
That would be kind of cool. That would be like the dude who comes down in random moments in Earthbound and says, now say fuzzy pickles. Anyway, Hajime Tabata also went on to say, hey, I know the copies are out there circulating early, basically, and say, you know, stressing everybody worked really hard on this. Please don't spoil the game before the game is actually on sale. The direct quote is, we may be unable to anticipate the spoiler videos and such that appear as a result of this. We hope that everyone looking forward to Final Fantasy XV can be very careful. We are also doing our best to prevent the circulation of leaked videos. To those who received the game early, please be considerate to those looking forward to the official release of this title.
Nah,
which
they
says
just...
to me, and I will say this up front, I know nothing about 15's plot, but this all says to me, somebody dies and they don't want you to know who.
Well, I think, I mean, people want to get the video out there first because that's the YouTube hits and that's money and, you know, it's all about that.
Anyway, looking at some of the chats in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Akuma JP says Prompto, he is AI. So, huh, interesting. And Akuma JP says it's not required, the additional stuff, but you will have more fun if you know the history and why or how they go to war.
Yeah, and I'm fine
with
that.
Okay.
In fact, you know, I kind of want to see the animated movie because it looked cool. Just like the first 12 minutes looked pretty awesome. I don't know. I mean, I'm interested. I just like the demo seriously didn't do it for me, which is unfortunate. I mean, I got an idea of what the game was, but like I still didn't understand what the game is.
And Stoppy in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, ha ha ha, Rob, you're so cute in believing delay excuses. Well, look, I think, you know, and in the back of my mind, I always kind of thought it failed certification. That's the real reason it got delayed. It failed certification. Then they had to delay it. But we don't have proof. Nobody's saying that. So I can really only just have that leap of faith and trust what they say. But believe me, I understand your cynic perspective in that regard, too. So,
every single patch update, just like Minecraft, needs to have, like, remove Sephiroth. Because, you know, they always like to add Sephiroth into these games as, like, an added bonus.
Akuma JP also says, Hajime Tabata made Crisis Core and Final Fantasy Zero. Of course somebody is going to die. So, that's what we do now.
That's right. I have another Final Fantasy game I don't play. I completely forgot I bought that for the demo of Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, Final Fantasy Type Zero and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Type Zero.
Whoops.
Eh. That game made an impression on me.
All right. And yeah, SG100 Matt says, no one is showing the receipts for why there was a delay, so we just have to take their word for it. That's right. They're not going to come out and say, yo, we failed certification, or hey, we had this major game-breaking
bug. They're going to have a guest character. Aerith's going to show up all of a sudden. She gets run through with a sword again and Sephiroth's there. It's like, ah, shit. You know, it's this all over
again.
Well,
you know, in the car, you can listen to Final Fantasy Greatest Hit tracks. So hopefully they have, like, the One-Winged Angel that you can actually play in the car while you're driving around. Because I don't know about you, Loki, but I do that anyway. In my own car.
Like, I think I would probably... Like, because I don't remember the demo you had to fight the behemoth or whatever. Just run that shit over with the car. Just, like, drive right into that sucker. Doesn't the car fly? Just drive right straight through this forehead. Yeah.
Well, I'm really, really looking forward to Final Fantasy XV. I have to decide, like, how much of it do I want to stream? Because I realize, like, everybody's going to be streaming it probably, especially on Tuesday when everybody gets the game. But I think I probably will do a bit of streaming, just especially in talking to Bobby just before we went live tonight. He kind of said, I'm waiting to see some of the early streams to see, like, what the options really look like or what the combat really looks like type of thing. So for that reason, I'll probably do at least a few streams the first couple days of the game. But I don't know. I don't know if I could stream all 70 hours or whatever it's going to take me to beat it.
I won't be streaming shit because there's not enough bandwidth in the house to do Netflix and fucking play the game. And sometimes there's not even enough, to do both of those. I mean, for some stupid reason, like, even though, like, it's streaming over my network, I can't. I have fucking gigabit internet, you know, within my home network.
Right.
That's not enough to stream the fucking shit to my laptop that's literally sitting 4 feet away from the, you know, well, not 4 feet, like 6 feet away. From
wireless, though?
Yeah, I've been doing it wireless, but I've got a, you know,
Well, it's automatically going to be like that 1 gigabyte gets slashed to whatever the wireless can handle, so.
I have wireless AC, so it should be able to handle that. Mm.
Maybe you got a lot of noise or something. Who knows? All right. Anyway, so I think that's all I really want to say about Final Fantasy 15. Obviously, there'll be a lot more in this coming week. It's going to be a big week in games. I mean, this week's been a little
slower. So now, is the VR thing included in this, or is that something that's coming later?
I think that's something
on
that comes later.
Yeah, that's lame.
You know what else comes later? The patch for the PS4 Pro. That is not going to be out at launch. That comes later.
Don't care. Don't have one.
Well,
so
obviously, you don't care, but I do have a PS4 Pro, and I was kind of looking forward to that increased frame rate since, you know, that's the one perk I get on my non-4K TV. So I'm a little disappointed that's not going to be their launch day, but I'll probably still be playing by the time that patch hits. So it will be kind of interesting to see the before and after, if nothing else. There is that. So anyway, let's move on. I want to get into the other gaming news for this week and how was your gaming week. So let's get into our gaming weeks and what types of video games you have been playing this week. Loki, what have you been playing?
So I played on Sunday. I had played a little bit of Watch Dogs 2, and I actually got to try some of the online because I didn't realize that they had shut or turned on some of those services. So ironically enough, I want to say it was Dungeon Buster that jumped in. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Dungeon Buster that jumped in. And we played some co-op, and that was fun. It was lots of chaos. So definitely enjoying that. However, I didn't really play much of Watch Dogs 2 because I've been purchasing things on the PlayStation Store thanks to their like Black Friday deals and stuff like that. So I ended up picking up Skyrim because Skyrim dropped to half price, and you know I wanted it for half price. Honestly, can't really tell the difference from the PlayStation 3 one. I mean, it's
really?
Just, well, I mean, I didn't have the PlayStation 3 one. I had it on a PC, but it's not, the change is not that noticeable. I mean, I know that they added more like foliage and stuff, and the draw distance is longer, but it's not like, whoa, this looks incredibly better. It's just like, yeah, this looks like Skyrim. But mods are fun. I'm having fun with mods. But I mean, it's basically it's playing like I do on PC. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's gonna waste a lot of my time though, unfortunately. What else did I do? They have that cool skin that came out now, that I don't know if you picked it up for Rez, the new background.
No, I forgot to grab that.
Yeah, I should have. It's fucking awesome.
Is it still up? I hope so.
I don't know.
I gotta
it
grab
was free
it.
Though. And yeah, for Rez's 15th anniversary? No, not it can't be 15th. Is it 15th?
No, I think it is. Yeah, I think it's 15? Like 15,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, go check it out. It's free.
Oh, it might be more. Awesome. It might be more, actually, because... No, it can't be 20. It's got to be... But yeah, the Dreamcast was out $99.99, so that would make sense. 2001 for Rez? That makes sense. Because it was on PS2 as well, right? Yeah, 2001 makes sense for that.
Yeah, let's see here. So, and then... What else did I play? Yeah, it was Dungeon Buster. Yes. Okay. So, I also played... What else did I pick up? I purchased a couple more VR games because they were on sale. So, I picked up Trackmania because Trackmania was down to like $15. So, I was like, dude, I can't pass it up for that. Plus, it has the VR mode. I haven't got a chance to try that yet because the problem with that is, you know, the setup required for that, it doesn't work really well when other people are trying to watch TV. And then I picked up, I don't remember what the other game was called now, but...
Quick interjection while you're thinking. Rez's release date was November 22nd, 2001 in Japan. It came out in the U.S. In January of 2002.
Yeah, Bound was the other game I think I got. That was a VR game. So I checked that out, or I haven't gotten to check that out, but I did purchase that as well. But mainly Skyrim. I've been playing a lot of that. It has been crashing, but I attribute that to like the 20 plus mods I have running on it, so that's fine. and I'm kind of okay with that. I don't know, it's fun. It's got all the updates to it. One of the things with Skyrim, I like a lot of the enhancements that people have made. Like there's they've got better quest directions, so it'll like give you, precise, here's what you need to do to finish this quest stuff, and the markers are more updated and stuff like that. So those enhancements really make the game kind of fun. Kind of disappointed that it disables your trophies, but I understand, because you can totally cheat your way through the whole game, but I only play it for trophies anyways. Fallout 4 was the other one I downloaded mods for, but I haven't gotten a chance to play that yet, just because I'm too lazy to actually pop the disc into the machine and try it out.
That's really lazy.
But I did pre-order Final Fantasy 15, so that should be unlocking for me at 9 o'clock on Monday.
Nice. I may not get to play tomorrow night. I may have to wait till Tuesday because I'm at the mercy of Amazon shipping, so I may not actually get it till Tuesday. But that's if I miss a few hours, I'm not going to scream and cry about it, so it's fine.
Yep. So I think that's everything. I mean, aside from Ingress, I did try Pokemon just to see the updates and stuff, and the nearby features kind of nice, I guess. I still don't understand where things are, but it's like at least I know it's near this Pokestop or something. I mean, it's all right. That's it.
All right. My gaming week. I've been continuing on in Pokemon Moon. Still playing that a little bit. Shane also helped me out because he went straight through the game and he's already beat it. And so he got me some of the starters. So now I have every starter in my Pokemon party. So that's kind of fun, getting to play the game like that. Completely unbalanced for me, but that's okay. It'll give me incentive to get through the game and play through that more. We did tape a Pokestop podcast over the weekend, so that'll be up very soon, right when you guys are probably hearing this. So you can hear more about that on that. But other games, I've been continuing on in Final Fantasy 14, of course, because I play a lot of that game. I got to see, I didn't play, but I got to see the classic Nintendo system because I was at Flacco Jones's place for a little bit yesterday. And, he has one. And so his kids were playing it. So I got to see that. And, I saw, the interface is pretty slick. I'm going to give it that because it seemed very seamless to, like, save and load save points. And, you really could switch between games.
Oh, that was the other game. Now that you mentioned the old Nintendo things. Huh. My kids were bugging me because they couldn't decide what they wanted to watch. So I decided to play some Mega Man 2 to show them what video games look like. So I played through a few stages of that.
And nice.
It's pretty hard.
Yeah, right? Games got harder at some point. We got older. I enjoyed the system, but again, yes, I do believe the picture quality was a little better, and I can see that. But I'm still kind of like, I have a lot of these games on Virtual Console, and again, that cord. I know we have a story coming up on it a little later in the show, but the length of the cord is pretty ridiculous. I don't see how that would work in many living rooms. The way Flacco had it set up worked, though. They had like the mini NES was kind of like on a chair, and then they would have the chair right next to their recliner so that the cord would reach. So it kind of worked the way they had it, but it wasn't the most convenient thing in the
it's
world.
It's a stupid cost saving. What? How much did you really save on making that cord like?
And would it kill them to make it Bluetooth or something where it could just be wireless, like have the classic controller wireless? Would it have killed them?
Or just don't use the classic controller for it. I mean,
yeah, it's just a little silly. Anyway, so I got to see that, but I didn't get to play it. Just disclaimer there, but it was nice to finally like actually see this device we've been talking about on the show for a few weeks. I played. Not really a lot else that I can think of. Just continuing on with Pokemon and the online stuff. Just waiting for Final Fantasy 15. Overwatch, I guess, would be the other big thing. That's it. Because I did buy something on the Black Friday sales. And Overwatch on the PlayStation 4 is what I bought. Now, I already had Overwatch on PC, and I was very adamant that I didn't want to buy it on a second platform just because it's the same game. But, of course, I got suckered in by the sale, and it was like, I do want to play with my friends who are on PlayStation 4. So I just bought it on PlayStation 4. Actually, I bought it on Amazon because Amazon was price matching, and it was like, well, I would like to have the physical disc. So I bought it there for like $35 or whatever. And I have been able to play some matches online. There was one night, it was me, Xtver, Shane, and Flacco were all playing some matches, and that was a lot of fun. So, you know, it's not like it was money wasted. But it's kind of sucks that I'm having to go through the leveling up experience again, but it's not like I got that far on PC anyway. I'm just not very good at Overwatch, and I'm okay admitting that. I'm really not that good at it, but it's still fun to fly around and fire rockets, even though everybody else is way better than I am. But yeah, so that was my experience with Overwatch. So that was my gaming week. So we're going to get into the news for this week. Sorry, Brad from Pod Culture in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Sky, you got to get it for the Xbox One. No, I draw the line. No, we're done. I'm sorry to the Xbox One owners and fans out there, but I can't. Maybe when it comes down to $10, maybe when it's $10, I'll finally get it on Xbox One. I would rather they just figure out the cross-play thing. I understand why they don't want to do it between PlayStation or Xbox and PC because of the whole keyboard and mouse versus controller thing.
Which is dumb.
They've actually done some balancing different on PlayStation 4 because of it. Like Torbjorn's turret and Symmetra's things don't hit for as much damage as they do on PC because they admit that people can't aim as well on PS4.
Then add keyboard mouse support.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be so difficult with USB ports in the front of your stupid console?
Or Bluetooth support.
Or Bluetooth? I mean, you've got both of those built into both consoles, so what the fuck is the problem?
I think they are worried that the keyboard mouse people would kill the controller people, and I don't know. But anyway, but at least let the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 be cross-play. I thought people were starting to play a little nicer in that regard. What, we have Rocket League is now available on all across all platforms, right?
I think so.
Or it's getting there. They say it's going to be. So why can't we have this? Hopefully they figure that all out before long enough. Let's see. SSG100 Matt says, the keyboard mouse versus controller argument is BS. Controller players have gotten just as good, if not better, than their keyboard mouse players. Yeah, it really all depends on what you're used to. Like, I'm not here to argue one is better than the other, but certainly I am really used to keyboard mouse in Overwatch at this point. But it does work both ways. Like, when I play Halo, I have to be, and you guys all love it when I talk about Halo. When I play Halo, it has to be on a controller. It feels weird on a PC to me, like, just because that game is like an Xbox or an Xbox 360 game. It is a controller game. I can't play it on PC. It feels weird. So anyway, that's enough for my gaming week. I don't really have a lot of housekeeping tonight, so I'll just plug our Twitter.com/OLR. And we're also on Facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. We're going to get into some news for now, though. Talk about that with you guys in our chat at live.vognetwork.com. So, Loki, what's up first?
So, holy cow, they've decided to actually do an update to No Man's Sky. And it's actually a pretty sizable free update. It's called the Foundation Update. It brings the game up to 1.1. And with it, it adds a lot of new features, new game modes, and, you know, bug fixes. So one of the major things that they added to it is the beginning of base building. So you're actually going to be able to create your own bases on planets, and yeah, it's pretty cool. You can even create, like, farms in there. Some other cool stuff that they had with the base building. Like I said, the farming, you can cultivate crops, you can hire farmers and specialists to research technology, stuff like that. Also, you can, the new game modes to go along with it, they have basically broken up now the three game modes. So there's a normal mode, which is like a normal, like, exploration type thing. Creative mode, which allows you to explore the universe without limits. And you can build a, you know, large base.
Does that mean it turns off those fucking sentries?
I
would love that, too. I'm going to find out.
In survival mode, which is much more challenging, even less inventory slots. No. actually, speaking of inventory slots, which is a relief, they've actually made it now where you can stack up to 5 items per slot. So it actually allows you to, you know, fix, you know, be able to store a lot more stuff on your person or in your ship. Along with storage, they've also added the ability to purchase freighters. So you can purchase a freighter and you can store your items there. You can actually teleport or transport your items to the freighter and store cargo there. There's new technology to research. They've redone the UI as well to kind of help along with all that stuff. just also fix some of the anti-aliasing, motion blur, just like a whole bunch of stuff.
This is no small update.
No, not at all. So that looks pretty awesome. So I may have to go check out the game now, being that this is pretty sizable.
That's kind of what Alan and I were both saying this morning when we heard about this update, is I was kind of like, well, I really need to get the disc and put it in PlayStation 4 and see what these changes are all about. And then Alan was saying the same thing because he owns it on PC. So kind of interesting that this sort of showed up out of nowhere. I mean, I know they did a blog post, yesterday or the day before, but that was really the first time we've heard from Hello Games in weeks, which was kind of a controversial decision of its own for them to go completely radio silent.
Yeah, and they're also saying you can build like a base camp as well, so you can build like a essential equipment on field or in the field on planet. They said you can place save points anywhere in the world for like survival mode, automated harvesters to gather resources, waypoints. Communication terminals will allow explorers to leave subspace messages for others to find. It sounds pretty cool, actually. Although, with, like, the base building stuff, I'd almost make it seems like you'd not want to leave your planet that you're on at that point, if you're building a base there. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you can build teleporters to go back to your base. So, as long as the teleporter is two-way, so you don't, like, lose your progress wherever you're at in the world, then that sounds like it would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think with the stacking, it sounds like they've solved a lot of the inventory problems, with the freighters and with your bases and doing the teleporting and stuff like that, and plus, being able to stack your inventory. Hopefully that'll solve some of the things that were kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely those recon drone things that are fucking killing you for mining stuff, that needs to be addressed. So hopefully that's one of the things. I didn't read through all the patch notes, but maybe that creative mode or whatever, because I don't give a there's no fucking story. We know that already, so there's no fucking story to worry about. So just play it casually. I think that would be a lot better than who gives a shit about survival mode.
Let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, I want to know the mechanism of how you get back to your home base when you're millions of miles away. Space teleportation protocols. It's got to be something like that.
Let's see here. What basically they said, when you claim your home planet by finding an uninhabited base or creating your own, you basically can construct your shelter using like a modular structure. They said you can recruit alien life forms. You can use the Terminus teleporters and the space stations to teleport to and from your base at will. And you can expand your base with storage, stockpile, resources and whatnot.
In chat, they're pointing out, VidPower says, No Man's Sky was $20 on Amazon on Black Friday. Crazy. So it's interesting because they're pumping out all these features and, the game is going to be a lot cheaper for people to jump into now.
I also noticed that it's discounted right now on PlayStation Network, but I couldn't see for how much because I already bought it when it came out.
So. It's probably a similar type of reduction. One other thing I want to mention with the update that caught my eye was the communication hub thing, where it sounds like you're going to leave like communication beacons for other players. So it sounds like they are trying to bridge that gap a little bit where they kind of got caught in the whole, like, you're really not going to be able to see other people, because, like, the two people that were streaming tried to find each other and they couldn't, right?
Yeah.
So, but now it sounds like you could leave at least, again, I'm just inferring this from the patch notes. I don't know what it really is, but it sounds like you can leave these comm messages.
But are they going to be able to find your base and stuff as well? Because is it going to be persistent on this other person's game, or is it going to be just in your own world?
Is it going to be notes like it is in Demon's Souls or Dark Souls, something like that? That's what I'm curious about, like, leaving those messages behind. I don't know. Joining us on the show here, walking in as a guest, he can do it because he lives here. Say hello, everybody, to Alan.
Hello.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good.
I saw you were commenting on the show, and I was hoping you were going to sit in for a little bit anyway, so I was just like, get in here. Make your comments live.
Seeing the stuff about No Man's Sky kind of makes me want to start over.
I'm kind of with you.
Because, I don't want to say I got that far. I mean, I had a good 20 or 30 hours on it. I mean, I had a ship with like 20-some slots out of the max of 40 or whatever. So I was doing pretty well. But the problem that I had with the original game was they wanted you to keep looking forward and explore at the expense of everything else. You couldn't really make your way back to a planet that you visited before that you really liked. You couldn't even set a waypoint really for a shop on a planet you are currently on, because the planets are huge. You can explore them for literally dozens of hours. It's one of the first stories that came out when the game was launched. So it's like, oh, I need to sell all this crap, and I know that I've been to at least two different depots on this planet, and I haven't left the planet. I can't make my way back to those depots because I've been exploring for so much. Like, there's all this quality of life stuff that I want to see them fix before they put in the whole, like, build a base element. Maybe that stuff was included. I don't know. I didn't look through the patch notes that deeply, but
yeah, I know they have, like, the save points, but good question. Do they have something where you can build something to call your ship? Because, like,
well, they have that already.
Yeah, some of those depots, well, you have to find a depot that has it. You know what I mean? But can you maybe build one of those on demand? If you can build a base, can you
build... The fact that you could not name... Because you had to, like... Let's say you found a ship that was a huge upgrade, but you had to basically rebuild it because it was a wreck rather than one you bought at a space station. You have to go run around and put all of these materials into it to, like, restore, you know, everything about it, but then you can't give it a name. It's like, guys, what are you thinking? You can name the planets and the little chicken, donkey, grub, dinosaur, poopy head things, and the plants and the little crickets that all look the same, but you can't name the ship. It's like bizarre.
That's a good point. But you are going to check this out, thanks to the update.
Yeah, again. I kind of want to see, because there were some mods for No Man's Sky PC that were like quality of life stuff that like made the waypoints that you could set bigger, and one that made the, like if you were on a planet that had like 15 different life forms, the last one or two were always the hardest to find because it was like they only come out at night. When it's stormy and it's raining, like those are the types of conditions.
And in one tiny cave, or
yeah. And I was like, I want it because you get a fair amount of credits if you can ID all the planet, all the animals on a planet. So I had a mod that kind of increased the spawn rate. So instead of having to look for 4 hours, that's not an exaggeration. Instead of having to look for 4 hours, I would just have to look for like 30 to 45 minutes for the last
one. Or like have it where at least you can scan and like, oh, new species discovered, you know, and have it kind of highlight where it is in your scan. So at least you can kind of, oh, okay, there it is. You know, instead of like, oh, hey, there's something. Oh, I've already found that. Well, oh, hey, there's something else. Oh, I already found that one as well.
You can get it to show the red dot. Like if you, let's say there's a hill and there's a bunch of animals on the other side of the hill. If you use your scanner to look for minerals, you'll see green and red dots, and red means it's an animal you haven't seen before. That was in the base game.
Oh. Well, that wasn't explained very well in the base game either.
But the thing that's frustrating, though, is that it could be like, let's say there's a goat with one horn and then a goat with two horns. It's still considered the same species, so it doesn't count as a new, like you'll be like, oh, you ID'd this different flavor of the same animal, but it's not the one that you're fucking looking for, because you'll see a red dot and it's like, I found it, oh my god. And it's like, no, it's just a goat worm that's kind of stupid looking. It's like his cousin. You found his cousin, but what you're looking for is like a bird or something.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. So there's all that stuff. I don't know. It is. I still think it's a really trippy, relaxing game. Once they patched it on PC so that it actually ran well, it's really beautiful, the planets it generates.
Not to backtrack too much, but before we get to the next story, I kind of want to ask you a little bit, because I know you extensively mod your Skyrim game.
Yes.
So you probably heard Loki's comments earlier about what his experience has
been.
They
have a mod to re-enable official Steam achievements. There's a mod to undo the mods.
Right, but I'm playing on PlayStation 4, so...
Oh, that's
they
right.
Don't have
oh,
that.
I keep forgetting
yeah,
that consoles
like Steam,
have those.
Steam's not a big deal, because Steam, I think you could add mods to it with the Steam Workshop, and it never would disable anything. It would just... You do whatever
Steam
the hell
Steam Workshop, which has mostly been abandoned, the mod community is still on Nexus, for the most part, for the PC platform. But there is no integration with Workshop for Special Edition yet. So if you go to Steam Workshop for Skyrim and you click install, it's going to look for the OG Skyrim, which I think is very silly.
Yeah, their mod system leaves a little something to be desired. But
I'm curious how that even works on PlayStation 4.
Well, it's kind of cool with PlayStation 4. So what you do, you can go to their website, because I thought that was the only way you could do it, is go to their website and you can browse the mods and say, okay, mark this one, or whatever. And then you go into your game, go in the mods, and you download them. But you can also actually search for them as well through the mod menu in the game. So you can go in the main menu, look at the mods. It'll show you the top mods or popular ones and the ones you have, you know, marked. And then you can download those, and it'll show you which ones you have installed. It'll give you the order that you have them installed, because some need to go before the other ones in order to not overwrite certain things or something like that. And so you have a lot of control over it. And they're really small downloads, because you can't add assets to the PlayStation 4 because fucking Sony. So it's really fast to get it working. It's just, you know, a lot of times I'll have to like look at them like, what is that mod that I marked? What does that do? You know, and or like, I'll be like, oh, this is a chest with stuff in it. It's like, okay, where was that chest again? It's like, I gotta remember where this is. So I don't know. It works pretty well from what I've seen, but I'm, you know, very limited because I can't do assets because I don't have it on Xbox One. I don't have an Xbox One.
Yeah, I imagine the load order, because like if mods step on each other's toes in just the tiniest bit, it's like, make sure you load this mod after this one and this one so that this one gets priority. And on PC, there's a program called Loot, which is Load Order Optimization Tool, and it will read through all the plugins and take care of all of that for you. And I can't imagine on console having 30 or 40 mods and being new to mods in the first place, because, I mean, you know PC mods, Loki, but the average console user that's never owned a gaming PC isn't, to be like, oh, you need to sort the order that you load these in. That's kind of like a power user thing to me.
Right. Thankfully, all the mods that I get are really small, so like they'll be just adding more magic spells or something like that, and so it's not necessarily something that's going to affect a lot of... They don't really interact with each other too much, and so I've lucked out there, but there are some where, like, oh, if you're loading this on there, you need to make sure this is at the bottom or this is lower than this. So, I mean, they kind of at least explain that for you, but, yeah, I mean, it still crashes. I've had it crash about 4 times already, and it's usually when it's loading dialogue, it's kind of weird.
Hmm. And I had an animation mod that I loaded up for Rob, and I said, hey, Rob, look at this, and I casted a spell on my follower, and he started to twerk. Like actual twerking, and you were like,
and I was, this is
you were like, you're like, uninstall Steam, uninstall Skyrim.
This is what you spend all your mod time doing. This is when I see you in that big chart where I'm like, are you doing work right now on a Saturday night? And you're like, no, this is the mod management thing. And I'm like, it looks like work. So, and yeah, I'm like, that's what you spend all your hours
doing.
And then
I casted another spell where they legit do Michael Jackson's Thriller dance with like the twitch of the neck, and then the arms go out, and then shuffle, slide foot, the whole Thriller dance. Now I was like, it's an animation mod. I just cast a spell on him, and then I reload my save.
Blocked, reported.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, another system that you might get to play with Skyrim mods on, it sounds like it's going to be the Nintendo Switch. Obviously, I'm taking a big leap there. But here's what really happened this week, is that obviously we've seen that Skyrim is there in the Switch teaser video. A lot of people spotted Skyrim there and said, yeah, oh, does this mean Skyrim's on the Switch?
They showed it like 5 times.
Yeah.
Like, a second and a half each. Yeah.
Not seeing anything. It's like, oh, come on.
Well, but what was interesting and what happened this week is that Todd Howard from Bethesda spoke to a gaming publication, a new one called Glixel, talking about the Skyrim footage that was on the Switch. And, you know, they asked, what do you think of the Switch? And Todd Howard said, I love it. I got to play it. I'll tell you. Well, maybe that's an NDA thing. One of the best demos I've ever seen. Probably the best demo I've ever seen at E3. Was it a Nintendo game? I mean the device itself. I think it's really smart what they're doing. We're definitely going to be supporting it. It's the first time we've done something on Nintendo. If you don't count the old NES stuff, Home Alone or Where's Waldo.
I thought that was funny.
Don't worry, nobody counts that stuff. But then, can you really bring Skyrim with you on the go? And the answer is, it's the same game on the TV and on the other screen. Oops. He didn't say that it wasn't happening or that we haven't announced Skyrim on it yet. He gave an answer that said it's the same on the TV and on the portable screen. So kind of confirmed something we pretty much already assumed.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, I don't know if it's a mystery because it was literally in the
Yes, but Nintendo came back right after that and said, none of the games you see should be considered an announcement or anything like that. You know, and I think they're speaking more of their first party stuff. But yeah, I think most of us were like, okay, we know Skyrim is on this thing. But one thing I wanted to say with all this is that...
I mean, it's not like Minecraft and the Ouya.
Yeah. This is one of those things where it's like, is this necessarily a good thing, though? and I think I said this when the footage was first unveiled, is that Skyrim is kind of last year's news. And I understand that a lot of you are still into it and really play it and so forth. I'm not, like, trying to be disrespectful.
It's 2011's news.
Exactly. Yeah, it's news from a long time ago. This was part of what hurt the Wii U. This was a big part of what hurt the Wii U, is gaming companies thought, oh, we can put a year-old game on the Nintendo console and people will buy it. And they didn't, because for most people, the Wii U was the secondary console, if any console, yeah, to the PlayStation 3
or Xbox
360.
They could launch it, though, and it would really only be a six-month-old title because it's going to be, you know, it's Skyrim remastered, so it's remastered. It's not that old. And honestly, I mean, yeah, it's old, but it's still entertaining. It's a long-ass game. It's very good value for your purchase.
I'm not saying it's a bad game or anything by that means. I mean, it will be something that definitely is, to see a game like that in Nintendo's lineup will definitely make you
It'll
go,
fill
okay.
the void until the next Elder Scrolls game comes out.
Yeah, but I just, you know, again, I hope Bethesda's working on something else, something newer as well, and not going to judge the Wii, or excuse me, the Wii U, not going to judge the Switch by a game that's 5 years old finally coming out on a Nintendo platform. Most of the people that are buying the Switch probably already have played Skyrim one place or another. That's just my biggest concern. Or what are they going to do with Skyrim that hasn't been done before? Make it portable. Obviously, that's going to be the big thing. But is that going to be enough? Maybe for some people.
I don't know. If it was Mass Effect 3, you'd be buying it anyway, so.
Yeah, that's different, and you know it.
It's not different. It's exactly the same.
I didn't actually buy Mass Effect 3 right away. Remember, I didn't buy it on Wii U until it was $12. So,
well,
you know,
if they come out at $29.99, which is what I purchased it at for the sale, I think that's a pretty good deal. Mm. I think that'd be a really easy sell.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with Skyrim on the Switch now that we practically have confirmation that it's happening short of.
I mean, that's a pretty exciting, because I, you know, I don't know. That would be a game I'd play on the Switch if I pick one up. I'd have to see what else is coming out for. But, I mean, I like the idea, because my laptop just doesn't run it very well. I mean, it runs it okay, I guess, but it would be nice having that screen and everything.
Some support in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Brad from PodCulture says, what isn't Skyrim on at this point? Well, a Nintendo platform would be the answer. Dark Tetsuya says, hell, I'm at least considering Skyrim on Switch. And Dungeon Buster says, as much as I love Skyrim, there are a lot of other RPGs to get into nowadays. Dark Tetsuya says, what if they did what Bayonetta did and add some Nintendo-themed exclusives? And I'm just thinking, like, that just seems like it would be really out of place.
I've seen that, and it's not pretty.
In a Skyrim game. I guess
I'm sure. I'm sure Alan could tell you about the total conversion that they have for, like, you know, the Mushroom Kingdom stuff. Have you seen that for Skyrim?
Oh,
I know what you're... I've even heard of this. It doesn't look good.
Yeah, I think there's also a Minecraft
conversion
where Skyrim looks like...
Yeah. But I'm just like, what Nintendo stuff would go into Skyrim? Like, not Mario. Maybe some Zelda stuff. Maybe Fire Emblem or something a little more.
Skyrim had the Portal 2 crossover mod where the space companion
that was funny.
Fell. And you just put him in your house and he was like, space. I'm going to go to space. And then you could have a giant knock him into space. Like, that's the only... And then
I remember you showing me that.
That's like barely
make a helmet out of it.
That's like barely any content. I mean, you pick a lot of mushrooms in Skyrim, so yeah, just put red and white mushrooms in there.
That's ridiculous. How about roll a million Goombas down a hill instead of cabbages?
Yeah.
That would be worth it. All right, moving on. Loki.
All right, so this is a game that's been out for a while now, and I wish we'd get mod support on PlayStation 4 as well. Saints Row 4, they're finally getting official mod support with the Steam Workshop, so you'll be able to download mods through that instead of the roundabout way that they have right now. But they have had mod support for the game for quite a while. I've actually Saints Row 3rd and even Saints Row 2, but now this will be a slightly easier way to do it, and you can check that out. And they've also, I guess, have it on sale. I mean, they always have it on sale. It's been all over the place. In fact, I think I just recently uninstalled it on my PlayStation 4 because I need to make room for Final Fantasy 15. But yeah, I would like to play mods on the PlayStation 4.
So what mods can we expect to see besides nude mods? Because that, I'm sure, is the first thing that'll be out.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think what they had on, like, the just the non-PC stuff. They had, like, tweaks for some of the games to make them not so difficult. Like, the minigames, some of them are kind of, you know, frustrating, so they have those. They have adding some of the stuff that was in Enter the Dominatrix. So there's, like, some added stuff you can add there for that. They had... I'm trying to think what else. Like different companions you can get. You can do new cars. I mean, they have all sorts of crazy stuff for it. Different weapons. I don't know. Yeah, there's new mods and, you know, make your breasts extremely large mods and stuff like that.
Oh, goody. Maybe Alan will find some mods where they can dance and twerk and do Thriller.
They already do that. Oh, yeah, they do the Carlton and all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Saints Row 4, they already do all that stuff.
I would like a new Saints Row game. I'm, you know, not a huge fan of 4 and wasn't was it Gat in the Hell was all right, or Out of Hell. But I would like a new Saints Row game.
Well, maybe
for better or worse.
I don't see why they won't do one.
They will eventually. Yeah. I just don't know what it's going to be.
It may not necessarily be Saints Row 5. It could be a reboot.
Well, they've got that one game that Volition's working on now that's not Saints Row, but it's got some Saints Row elements in it.
Well, with all the superheroes.
Yeah, with all the, like, yeah, that, yeah, it looks okay, but I want an actual Saints Row game.
I like Stoppy's comment in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. I was about to say, Saints Row feels like one massive mod turned into a game. It kind of does in many ways.
It is, yeah. 4, I mean, is basically a massive mod on 3. I mean, and I don't know. It was just, in Gata Out of Hell was kind of a reskin of 4. I mean, I don't know.
All right. Well, moving on to a story about Ubisoft and the way that they plan to approach DLC in the future. There was an interview with GI.biz where the vice president of live operations, Anne Blondel-Juin, I hope I said that name right, talking about some of the recent things that they've learned from a game like Rainbow Six Siege about how DLC for, you know, other Ubisoft games should work going forward. For those that are not familiar with Rainbow Six Siege, you only have to pay for content in the game which customizes characters or buying new ones. The maps themselves end up being free, which isn't always the case in other online shooters where you have to pay for the maps. Some quotes here from, again, the VP of Live Operations. Monetization is something we have to be very careful about, and my team is in charge of that and making sure we find the right balance. If it's not adding something on top of the actual experience of the game, then it is no good because you'll be asking for money for the wrong reasons. Also, if the content is compulsory for the gamers, it's no good as well. It wouldn't work. It is a way to deliver more fun to gamers, but they have a choice to go for that extra fun or not. No more DLC that you have to buy if you want to have the full experience. You have the game, and if you want to expand it, depending on how you want to experience the game, you're free to buy it or not. The way we monetize Rainbow Six is that people are happy about the new characters, and they can customize them with weapons and charms, but even if they don't do it, they'll have the exact same experience of the other gamers. So, kind of a common theme we're seeing in a lot of games these days is that a lot of the stuff they're tending to sell, especially in games that really focus in the online realm. I mean, this goes from everything from, like, in the MMO space, World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XIV, to something like Overwatch, is that a lot of the things that they sell on top of the base game is cosmetics. It's new skins, it's new pets, it's new, you know, shinies, but it's nothing that's going to fundamentally change the game. Again, Overwatch being an example of that. When they release new characters like Sombra, or they do a new map like Antarctica, it's out there for everybody. They don't charge for that. But they figure they'll make money off those loot boxes for people that must have that Sombra introduction where she hacks somebody else's play of the game, which is actually really funny if you haven't seen it. So I guess I think that's a good thing. I you know, I kind of like that idea that I'm not going to be paying more money for something that should be a part of the main game. But the cosmetic stuff, all right, if it's something I'm into, cool. Otherwise, yeah, you know, take it or leave it. So, all right, moving on.
Logan. All right. So, with the Steam sale this time, they introduced the Steam Awards. So, it's basically a way to nominate certain games for different categories. So, some of the categories that they have, the Test of Time Award, the I'm Not Crying, There's Something in My Eye Award, the Just Five More Minutes Award, the Whoa Dude Award, the Villain Most in Need of a Hug Award, the Game Within a Game Award, the I Thought This Game Was Cool Before It Won an Award Award, the Best Use of a Farm Animal Award, and the We Didn't Think of Everything Award. There was also one I saw that was like the most, what was it, like they're saying like a need of a sequel or something like that, because I know people have been nominating Half-Life 2 Episode 2 for that kind of stuff. I'm wondering if, I think you can actually...
There's a Make Your Own Award.
Yeah.
That's where that's happening, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, you can participate in that now during the Steam Autumn Sale that's going to be running through the 29th. So a couple more days on that.
I don't know. Is it just me, or does it all feel kind of really uninspiring? Like, I don't know what it is. Like, the Steam sales used to be really awesome. Like, the last one I remember that was really cool was the one with the little mini game with the robots that was the cookie clicker type game.
Yeah, basically. That's fun.
That was cute. I mean, it wasn't their best, but it was cute. And they had some other stuff, you know, before that that was kind of cool. But this one just feels, I don't know, like, oh, yay, another awards thing. And especially awards that are completely, like, ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, nothing really, you know, of substance. It just feels very bleh to me. Now, granted, I don't think the autumn sale is supposed to be one of their biggest sales, even though Black Friday is like, but we're, what, less than a month probably till the holiday sale, which will be their big one. So that's why I'm kind of like, all right, maybe I'm judging this too harshly, because usually there's nothing with the autumn sale, if memory serves me right. Any of their big stuff would be,
I think,
the
what's kind of taken away from it a little bit, because there used to be a lot of, you know, interest in these sales, is because now they don't do the rotating days with different deals. It's just all at once. And so you kind of take a look at it and you're like, eh. Whereas, like, when it's each day, it keeps you coming back to the store and keeps you.
But then people also complain, oh, I missed what I was looking for, and da 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 da. You know, I see that side of it. But at the same time, yeah, when you put it all out there all at once like that, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, this was, you know, this wasn't as exciting as I'd hoped.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't. You know, that it's not, just not going to get any better than that.
SSGO100 Matt saying, the autumn sale was always just a tease for the winter sale. I suppose that's true. VidPower says, why don't they just call the autumn sale their Black Friday sale, since it only takes place during most of Black Friday weekend? That's a good question. Why don't they just call it what everybody else called it? Let's see. Stoppy says, I do like how Alien Isolation is getting nominated for the Villain in Most Need of a Hug Award. I'm sure the online communities like Reddit and Twitter and all that stuff are coming up with these ridiculous ideas for nominations that we'll probably see win. Because otherwise there's so many games on Steam, I can't imagine.
Goat Simulator should win for best use of a farm animal.
That is a good point. I think I nominated like Stardew Valley or something, but you're right. Goat Simulator is a good call. Maybe I'll have to consider going back and changing my answer. One game that I have to admit, I've been very tempted with during the Black Friday sales. So I haven't pulled the trigger on buying it yet, but I'm very, very tempted on Street Fighter V. Because, you know, Street Fighter V's been getting some deep discounts during Black Friday. And Street Fighter V, you know, some people are wondering, like, how long is this going to go on? Did the game flop? You know, because I don't think it sold, and we've reported on this before, I don't think it sold as strongly as they'd hoped in the beginning. You know, are they gonna move on to Street Fighter VI or something else? Well, that doesn't seem to be the case, because in an interview that Yoshinori Ono did with Japanese magazine Famitsu, he's basically saying that the company is still planning ahead to support the game as far as 2020, saying that there's still work to be done to solidify Street Fighter V as an esports title. Saying that they're going to continue to support this through 2020, and we're very likely to see more about this plan at the PlayStation Experience, because the Capcom Cup is happening with the PlayStation Experience, which is this coming weekend. I can't believe it's like already here. A buddy of mine was really trying to get me to go, and it's like, Anaheim is the type of thing that I could road trip and back in a weekend, but I'm just like, oh, I don't know. It's just, I don't know if I could do it. I'm just tripped out at this point from all the different, and I have MAGFest coming up in a few weeks, so which I can't believe that's what, like 6 weeks away is MAGFest, so it's, you know, I got all this other stuff going on, but I know the PlayStation Experience are going to get a lot of news out of that, including whatever probably the future of Street Fighter V looks like, which probably new characters, new stages. I'm sure we'll see plenty of that.
Yep.
Loki.
So another thing that's coming around the corner is, you know, the Game Awards. And the Game Awards, well, they've got a category this year that's the best fan creation. And with that, they had four nominees, but now it's actually whittled down to two titles. And a couple of these have been pulled. The two titles that have been pulled, Pokemon Uranium and Project AM2R, or for those who don't know what AM2R is, it's the another Metroid 2 remake. And kind of coincidental that both of those are Nintendo titles and had cease and desist against them. So thanks, Nintendo, for ruining half of those nominations. The other two, though...
Who's the big sponsor of the Game Awards, by the way?
Yeah. So the other two titles that aren't left to be nominated for, Brutal Doom 64 and Endreal, the Shards of Order, which I have no idea what that is based on. I know, well, I mean, I know what Doom is, but I don't know what the other game's a fan game of. I'm surprised not any Sonic fan games there, because...
That's what I was thinking,
because... Sonic was that 3D one looked kind of cool.
That was the first thing I thought, is that when I was like, okay, well, Nintendo doesn't support these fan remakes, I was like, well, I'm surprised there's no Sonic remakes in there, because Sega is supportive of that stuff and would probably love it if a Sonic game won this award, so... that did kind of surprise me, but obviously it's probably too late to replace a nominee. Like, I don't think you could fairly do that. But that does kind of suck that those two got pulled. I mean, I understand how it happened.
No, I don't understand. I mean, come on.
I just say I understand how it happened. I'm not saying I understand why it happened.
Because it's fucking Nintendo. I don't understand. I don't like their approach, how they take, you know, not only people promoting their games. Like, I think the whole Nintendo thing with YouTube and how you have to be like a, you know, an official, you have to pay money to do that. So I think that's fucking stupid.
Yeah,
it's such a backwards way to think as a company, I think. And that kind of that stuff right there just really kind of gives me doubt on, you know, all this awesome stuff that we think is going to happen with the Switch. Because yeah, a lot of this potentially could be awesome because it's done on other platforms, but Nintendo also likes to fuck things up for some reason. They like to do things their own way, and I don't like it.
VidPower in chat wants you to know, Loki, Enderal is like an unofficial expansion pack to Skyrim.
So I mean, that's kind of cool.
Like an Uber mod for Skyrim, basically.
There's a bunch of those now.
Yeah.
There's the Forgotten City. There's Moonpath to Elsewhere, like full voiced campaigns that are hours long.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that people build that. So that's cool that at least one of those is getting recognized. So it'll be that or Doom.
See, now the Switch. Here's how you make Skyrim on the Switch fucking awesome. You allow that mod support and you allow it with the, you know, the new media along with it. So not this PlayStation 4 way of doing things, but I'm talking like Xbox One or PC. That'll get you some mileage on that game.
We'll see. Stoppy in chat talking about, you know, Nintendo's a lockdown on this. Stoppy says, mark my words, the Switch's equivalent of the share button will be a relinquish all rights to Nintendo button. I'm very curious. You know, a lot of people are assuming there's going to be a share button of some sort on the Switch, you know, because that's basically where we're at now with games, is the very social element. But how much control is Nintendo going to put on that? I'm very curious to see.
I think it's stupid. And you know what?
The answers will be here in January.
You know what? And it's I hope that the Switch does well, but, you know, if the Switch doesn't do well, that might at least maybe consider changing their stance on that stuff.
Well, if the Switch doesn't do well, Nintendo may be done with hardware.
I'm fine with that.
They may be done with home hardware.
Yeah, I mean,
portable. They're not leaving. There's always going to be a 3DS.
Nintendo still has a lot of cash in the bank, but if the Switch also tanks in the way that the Wii U did, I'm not so sure Nintendo will have another chance to do the home market. So. But we'll see. I mean, who knows? I mean, Nintendo could also... I mean, you look at something like the classic NES doing very well. So maybe Nintendo will milk the nostalgia thing for a few years. Who knows? Who knows?
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, chalk.
But anyway, speaking of milking nostalgia, something we love to do here at Orange Lounge Radio every week... We take a trip down memory lane with a segment we call the Classic Game of the Week. And usually Dark Sakura walks in here every week to pick a game that she thinks is worthy of being in the archives of a classic video game that, hey, you kids should drop your fancy Final Fantasy 15s and play this instead. But unfortunately, she's sick. But we brought in a special guest commentator here this week, Alan, to choose a game for us instead. So, Alan, what is the classic game of the week this week?
The classic game of the week is Rock and Roll Racing for the Super Nintendo and Genesis by Silicon and Synapse Studios, now known as Blizzard Entertainment.
There you go, a little loading screen there.
This game came out in June of 93. It was a ton of fun. I know in particular, Rob, the conventions that we used to go to in our youth group where we would hook a... I mean, when I say we, I mean the group of people I was with. We didn't know each other back then, even though we were at these same events. We hooked up a NES to the hotel TV and we played Rock and Roll Racing, I think, for like 2.5 days straight. The NES was just never turned off. Like, which, we just played it and played, which is what you do when you're 14.
Which said convention was always Black Friday weekend, so good timing on your part.
Yeah.
You gotta wonder if they're still using the same hotel and everything for that.
Yeah.
All these years later.
So, this game was published locally by Interplay Entertainment back before, Blizzard was really its own juggernaut. The playable characters in it, or for what the game is, it's obviously it's a racing game that's very combat-oriented, maybe a little bit more combat-focused than Super Mario, which of course has Super Mario Kart, which does have a combat element. It has 4 or 5 licensed songs in it. I believe in 2013 or 2014 on the Battle.net site, you can play a demo of Rock and Roll Racing, but the licensed music has been MIDI-ized because, of course, those licensing agreements have long since run out, and they don't want to, pay to license Bad at the Bone and Johnny Gunn and all that stuff again. The playable characters are Cyberhawk, Ivan Zeifer. Cyberhawk is kind of like a weird sort of Batman clone. Ivan Zeifer looks like Chewbacca. Jake Badlands is like a cyberpunk with like the mohawk. Katarina Lyons is a cat girl. Damn furries always ruin everything.
Stop it.
No, I'm kidding. Olaf the Stout is from The Lost Vikings. That was Blizzard's Easter egg, is that he was in there.
All right.
And Snake Sanders kind of looks like the sort of blonde Gaston, like Dudley Do Right type character, and then there was Tarquin, who looks like the gay elf from Drawn Together.
So, which of these characters will be the next hero in Overwatch?
Okay. That's, yeah, this is a franchise that, and actually, reading up about this game, I didn't know that it had. They aren't really official sequels, both in name and the fact that Blizzard didn't create them, Interplay put them out saying this is an extension of this Rock and Roll Racing IP, but I don't remember much about either one of them.
But this character, by the way, looks straight like an orc right out of Warcraft.
Yeah, or Slimer. He looks cross between orc and Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, wow.
One of the fun things about this game is that it had compressed voice narration for, so Tarquin takes the lead, or she's gonna blow when your car's about to blow up. And at the time, obviously, when it was still kart gaming, you know, this was... I'm trying to think of when this came out in relation to Super Metroid, which had, you know, the galaxy is at peace, that voiceover part at the beginning. So hearing voice that didn't sound like total garbage in a kart game was still kind of undiscovered territory. So that element of it was awesome. It played really well. No real kart stutter or frame rate lag. You could buy upgrades for your car. I believe the most expensive car that you could get was like a hover car, like it was on a it didn't have wheels, it sort of glided, but that wasn't the best car. The best car was the second to best, which was the one with like triangular like treadmill wheels, because it could make really sharp corners. So yeah, and you can hear the announcer through the YouTube Let me see if I can find the soundtrack for it.
I was just to say real quick, one other thing about this game is that it's basically RC Pro-Am.
Yeah, it was originally... let me find it here.
Was it supposed to be a sequel to RC? I mean, actually, RC Pro-Am did have a legit sequel.
It was spec'd out and budgeted to be an RPM racing sequel.
Oh, interesting.
But then some point halfway through that, Interplay got all of the licensed music, and from then it became let's put Olaf the Viking in this. Let's create the whole like Galaxy Racer outer space thing. So yeah, it was originally spec'd as being a sequel to RPM Racing, but then through development it became a entirely separate and probably. I'm not familiar with RPM Racing. I imagine it was a classic, but there's just so much style to this game, and it's sort of strange to me that... Well, I mean, Blizzard also had Blackthorn, I think, which is a game they made when they were a baby company that has absolutely, like, they haven't touched that IP. They probably never will. That style of game doesn't really sell anymore. But this is something from their vault that they don't necessarily deny exists, but you really have to dig for the fact that they made this.
At BlizzCon, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do it at BlizzCon. They would have a Blizz Arcade type of thing that was like their classics that you could play at BlizzCon, and this game would always be there hooked up, as would, you know, the other stuff you mentioned. And Lost Vikings, especially, their older stuff. But yeah, I don't see Blizzard revisiting this anytime soon, but I guess you never know.
Because Lost Viking has Easter eggs in, I think, Vanilla WoW. There was that. What was the?
Yeah, they
Oldham.
They show
Oldham.
Up. Yeah,
Olduar.
Yeah.
Or I don't know.
You're right. I think. Olduar. I think is the name of the instance that they show up in.
Yeah. So they're there, and also, of course, one or more of the Vikings are in Heroes of the Storm. So the Lost Vikings gets all of the credit as being the vintage Blizzard game, but Rock and Roll Racing is also. One of the things in there. A sequel to the original Rock and Roll Racing was made for the 32-bit PlayStation console by Interplay. The game was sold in Europe as Rock and Roll Racing 2 Red Asphalt. I've literally never heard of this.
I found
that out while reading up on what my classic pick was.
Yeah, I don't think it was a very good game from what I heard.
Released December 16th, 2013, a Motor Rock is a game that was developed and published by Yard Team on Steam. It featured many elements, including art assets from the original game and some additional content. It was originally named Rock and Roll Racing 3D. Development was started in June 2009, and it had an Indiegogo campaign. It was pulled from the Steam store due to copyright infringement from Blizzard, because of course it was. It's for a fan project to just like be like, oh, this is a sequel to the game, and a ton of like... of assets are taken wholesale from the original. Seems a bit silly. But apparently, since then, Yard Team sells the game Steam keys through their website. So I may have to check that out. And I still cannot find in this, you'd think I would have discovered it, like I would have had it prepped before it was my turn to talk about this, what the soundtrack was. But it was the... Bad to the Bone.
Born to be Wild's playing right
Born
now.
Born to be Wild. Did it have the Spy Hunter song theme song in it too? Johnny, or I'm trying to think.
I feel like it did. Peter Gunn is the...
Peter Gunn.
Is the, yeah, that song.
Yeah, so it did kind of get repetitious, but the game was so fun because it was only the same three or four songs over and over again. And the voiceover announcer also was kind of repetitious, but the gameplay was so... smooth and fun and incredible that, you know, when you were 14 playing this game at 4 in the morning, it was a good old time, and I recommend if you are into combat-based.
I was like, why? When did Samuel L. Jackson get in the game? Sorry, I had an ad pop up, and I got it. I changed browsers today on the studio computer, so I haven't been able to do all the ad blocking stuff.
And I know Twisted Metal was its own beast, but if you're really into those combat, like racers with a heavy combat element where you're shooting missiles at cars and it's really not even about who races the best, but who can get the best shot in to blow up your opponents and just take the lead, definitely check this game out.
So I found the song list for you.
Okay, thank you.
Bad to the Bone, Born to be Wild, Highway Star, Paranoid, and the Peter Gunn theme.
Yes, I think Paranoid was a fit. That's Black Sabbath, right?
I think so.
Ozzy Black Sabbath. So yeah, for this NES and Genesis, came out June 1993, Rock and Roll Racing from Blizzard.
Awesome. Great pick.
Thank you.
There it is, your classic game of the week, Rock and Roll Racing. Dark Sakura would have approved if she was here. Actually, I swore up and down she'd already picked it, but I think we just had a side discussion of it one time when the Blizzard thing came up in the Battle.net. And they were doing the whole revival.
Because I know that Dark Tetsuya is on it. He's probably already updated the wiki right now with this game. I searched for Blizzard. I searched for Rock. I searched for Racing. It was not there.
It's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm always surprised. She'll find some game and she's like, can you believe I've never... Like Silent Hill last week. Like, really? She never done Silent Hill before? Oh, because she's done 2, 3, and 4, but she's never done the original. So there it is. Anyway, yeah, lots of classic games. You know, we're up to over 400 classic games. This segment has been going since episode 250. Classic Game of the Week was not always here on the show.
It was the website of the week.
And then it was something else before that. It was advice column. This one comes from the podcast days, not the original Live 365 show. So, yeah, it was the advice column, then the website of the week, and now the classic game of the week. This one's been going strong since episode 250. So, yeah, over 400 I would say unique classic games of the week, but there have been a couple repeats on accident. She has accidentally repeated a game a couple of times, but still not a bad track record for over 400 episodes. So anyway, let's see. And Dark Tetsuya giving credit where credit is due, that AJ Mix actually does a lot of those updates, Alan, just so you're aware, on the wiki. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there's plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including rapid fire news, what's in stores this week, and some more news and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. We will get to all that when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 667 for this November the 27th of 2016, our show already in progress. Alan has retired back into his office to go play some more Skyrim or whatever game he's working on, but we thank him for sitting in on part of the show. He might come back a little bit later. He did a good job of the Classic Game of the Week. I wish I'd waited to do this on air, but during the break, I realized that Loki had yet to have Crystal Pepsi since the 1990s.
Yes, exactly.
And the Crystal Pepsi came back in stock all of a sudden on the Amazon pantry on Black Friday. So I had a pretty substantial coupon because my PlayStation Pro, I was in Chicago when the Pro came out, right? So I just had it shipped normal speed. So they gave me a pretty good coupon for pantry. So long story short, I ordered... I had to get like an 8-pack of Crystal Pepsi to get delivered here to get any of it because Alan had never had it either. So he finally tried it last night. And during the break, Loki had some Crystal Pepsi for the first time. Was it everything you remember from the 90s?
I don't remember it being very good in the 90s. And this is okay. It's just it's kind of disturbing not seeing it caramel colored.
Yeah, it's a little it's weird what food coloring
and
it, can do.
It's
huh?
just also it's like. It's like how you imagine diet, you know, when they replace the sugar with, like, sweetener, except they replaced it with, like, more sugar or something like that. And so it's, like, incredibly sugary.
It's very sweet.
Like,
it's
I feel like sweet. Drinking this, I'm still going to do it, is going to make me sick later to my stomach.
Just drink well, it not, slowly. Drink it slowly.
Not that sick to my stomach, but, like, it's going to be like, oh, I'm going to...
Yeah, sugar coma.
That's cool. Like, I can be awake, play just more
drink,
Skyrim.
Drink it slowly. I would think maybe that's going to be a great mixer for something like vodka or something. That might be a place to use that. Then it's going to be like completely clear alcoholic drink that'll get me messed
Speaking
up.
Speaking of which, not vodka, but like, you know, staying awake. I've been trying to work on, I went back to working on my car game again. So hopefully, since everybody's been bothering me about, why don't you finish the car game? Because I want to work on something else. I'm like, fine.
There you go.
So I went back to working on that again, but I got to rebuild everything. It's going to be from scratch, so yep.
Brad from Pod Culture says, Sky, hey, geek cuisine is our thing. Sorry, my friends over at Pod Culture. But
I was just telling them that like I totally forgot I should order a case of Surge because that's really that was my thing.
I don't remember that at all. I remember having it back in like high school, but I don't remember it very well.
Well, because I had gotten a job at Qzar because I played laser tag and honestly got a job there for the free games because they give you like 20 games a month for free or something like that, plus you whatever you want. So that was why I worked there for like minimum wage. But they had a Surge machine there, and so I used to get Surge all the time, you know, playing Qzar and stuff, and I love that stuff. It's so good. But then they don't make it anymore.
That's the other 90s thing I want to make a comeback is Qzar. I'm sure you much more than me.
Unfortunately, that's never going to happen just because
Does it still exist? Like
it does still exist. It's the closest location to us. I think they have one. Vacaville thing's still going, and then Concord is the other one. Mm-hmm. Those are the two closest in Pleasanton, but it's just a lot of the, unfortunately, the like the people that owned like the Qzar franchise originally, like the rights to everything, they sold it off, and then like there's a guy named Will Lowe who had like 300 packs from all these different closed locations. And I think those have been sold off. But they have another company now in the UK, I want to say, that's making the parts again for those. I honestly thought it was like the best laser tag that they had out there, because I've played quite a few of them, and I thought that one was the most
fun. There's some indie laser tag.
There's a lot of
too,
like,
right?
Well, they're not indie, but they're like other systems, then they just, they don't call them, it's like they're not all branded the same.
They have one at the bowling alley, right? Roseville Golfland has one. There's a specific laser tag place in Carmichael, the laser castle thing.
Yeah, they've got lots of like these systems where they just rebrand their own laser tags thing, but Qzar was more of like a franchise that was like across the world.
Right.
So that was like, well, no, they still have Qzar locations like in the UK and Australia and stuff like that.
And now I feel too old for Qzar. I'm like, I don't want to play against a bunch of teenagers.
Qzar is really good exercise. I would be doing That's it. True. Honestly, like, if it was still around, I would probably be doing that every weekend. Because it's fun. I had a lot of fun with it.
See, you know what? This is where I'm missing out. I should have an Amazon referral link for the show, because now all these people in chat are like, hey, the Crystal Pepsi is still on Prime Pantry. I gotta get, and now they're sharing a link with you for Surge. It's apparently there on Amazon.
Well, I know
Pantry.
It's on Amazon. I just am not ordering it because I don't need a case of Surge. I mean,
try explaining that to the wife.
I don't need to explain to the wife. I've got two cases of like Red Bull at my desk at work.
Oh,
so
that's
it's fine.
That's true.
I mean, whatever. And Surge is good, but like the new one that they have now is not the exact same as the old one. It's slightly different, flavor wise. So that's unfortunate. If it was exactly the same, it'd be pretty awesome. But
and I would say Crystal Pepsi is very similar. It's not the same.
Yeah, from what I remember,
soda is different in a can versus a bottle.
It is,
and especially a fountain.
And I've had it in a can. I have had the last time I had Crystal Pepsi, and I only tried it once. Was in a can. I was like, nope, don't like that too much.
Oh, I liked it when it was.
I had it in a can, and Surge, I used to always get it in a bottle. But yeah, you're right. It does taste differently. Like Pepsi is actually good pretty much in anything, except I think the fountain's actually the weakest for Pepsi, whereas Coke tastes the best out of a fountain, especially a fountain that doesn't, you know, regulate the amount of carbonated water versus syrup and has way too much syrup. Yeah. Or even those Coke 360 machines that get all like the like little citrusy flavors in there because it's all mixed together. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good.
All right, anyhow, we could talk about soda all night, but we got to get back to video games with some rapid-fire news. Loki, what do you have for us?
So we've got our first taste of what's going to be coming out for games with Gold in December. It's actually a pretty awesome lineup. So for Microsoft, on the Xbox One, you're going to be getting, let's see here, Sleeping Dogs. That's going to be like the definitive edition. And then also Outlast. And then on 360, you're going to be getting, via backwards compatibility, Burnout Paradise and Outland. So that's a pretty fantastic lineup right there. Burnout Paradise and Sleeping Dogs. I mean,
yeah, that's a pretty killer lineup. Burnout Paradise, I'm really looking forward to having on backwards
compatibility. Yeah, that's fantastic. No word on what Sony has available yet, but it's probably not Burnout Paradise. And it's, sadly, there's no backwards compatibility stuff. That is really hurting them, I think, because it's just, I mean, there's great games coming out each month, and just Sony, I don't know. I'm just getting less impressed each month with the stuff that comes out for free, though, to be fair, I don't play most of it anyways. But I would play Burnout Paradise again, because I have it on PC. Speaking of games coming out again, there's going to be a re-release of Lego City Undercover for other consoles. Because remember, Lego City Undercover was one of those Wii U launch titles. I think it was launch. Actually, it may have been after launch, but close to launch. That only came out on Wii U. And it was originally being shown off as a Grand Theft Auto Lego game, which it kind of spun off into something else. But certainly looked exactly like Grand Theft Auto with the same HUD and everything. But now it's going to be coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and on the Switch. And that should be coming out probably next year. But I will definitely pick that up because it looks awesome. I never did pick it up on Wii U, and that might be one I had to pick up on the Wii U, but I may wait.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are probably in the same boat as you where it's like, wow, I really wanted to play that game, but I didn't really want to play it on Wii U.
I think it just hasn't come down in price. Maybe it has. Maybe
a lot of Wii U stuff hasn't.
That it is unfortunate. Like, I don't know.
I saw when I was at Toys R Us over the weekend, I saw that Super Mario All-Stars on Wii. They still want $20 for that. $19.99 for basically a virtual console release on a Wii disc. Which that game actually was never on virtual console because they can charge $20 for it and people will pay it.
Yeah, which crazy. Is funny. Well, yeah, because, yeah, it's actually, it's not funny at all. Yeah, because the Super Nintendo games, which they charge way too much for anyways, they'd be charging like, what, $10 for...
$8, I think.
$8?
Maybe $9 on Wii U.
It's
I don't
fucking ridiculous. Yeah. I understand. Don't get me wrong. These are great games. But you yeah. long ago made your money back on this shit.
Yeah, right?
And it's fucking stupid. They should be selling those virtual console games like they do the fucking Humble Bundles. Because, you know what? Like, there's a lot of games out there that I may not purchase, but... I would fucking build up a library of, like, especially, like, these sales that come on. I buy a lot of stuff that I honestly don't play on the PlayStation Network, but I purchase it because it's so cheap. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Like, virtual console, they could be totally taking advantage of that. But they're fucking greedy because they're like, well, our games are quality and they should be sold for this amount. Yeah, you're right. Your games are good. But you know what? Those games came out decades ago and you made your money back so many times on that. It's fucking stupid.
Well, maybe a lot of copies were still on the shelf, so maybe maybe the folks will speak on that and get it a discount on that. Dark Tetsuya says in our chat room, I don't know if I need Mario All-Stars that badly. All I need to do is buy Super Mario Brothers 2, and I already have all the Virtual Console editions anyway. Well, to be fair, though, the Super Mario All-Stars remakes were really good, especially the original Mario, and Mario 2 turned out really good as well. Mario 3 didn't have a lot of changes because it was already kind of the newer game, but and I can't remember if the All-Stars they're selling in stores also has Mario World on it or not, because remember that was a thing? There was Super Mario All-Stars plus World was a packing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it probably isn't. Probably isn't. Anyway, speaking of retro franchises,
if I remember correctly, that was one of those games that they dumped. Someone had dumped the disc, and it was literally like a 30 megabyte ROM. It was stupid.
Anyway, speaking of retro franchises that keep coming back, some new trademarks have been filed by Bandai Namco, and these trademarks were filed in Europe, and two of them have to do with Pac-Man. There are two new Pac-Man trademarks for Pac-Man Cash Rush and Pac-Man and Leprechaun. One sounds like a slot machine, and one sounds like a mobile game. That's what it sounds like to me.
I was going to say Cash Rush sounds like it's a slot machine.
Slot machine or a ticket redemption or something like that. It's probably not going to be what you think. I doubt these are new console games or anything like that. Although, I mean, to be fair, I mean, we kind of roll our eyes at these, but...
Or Cash Rush could almost be like a lottery, you know, like a lotto...
A lotto ticket or something?
Lotto ticket,
who knows? But I was going to say, like, you know, to be fair, like Pac-Man Championship Edition, Deluxe Plus, and I really like Championship Edition too. I know a lot of people didn't, but I still found a lot to love in that. So a lot of actually the Pac-Man, I even like Pac-Man 256. Like a lot of the Pac-Man titles lately have been pretty cool. So, you know, I guess don't knock until you tried it. There were also some trademarks for Skies Unknown, the Precious 12 and Fortune Gears. But we don't know exactly what those could be. Those could be literally anything. So, but there they are, some trademarks. That's why we put it in rapid fire news, because everything else is pretty much speculative with that. Something that is a little more certain, in fact, almost too certain, is Ubisoft giving away 30 days worth of giveaways. If you sign into Uplay and go to the 30-day site, you can start looking at some of the fun little giveaways that they're giving away. And some of it is a little silly, like greeting cards for Just Dance or something like that. But they are also, as part of this giveaway, giving away copies of PC games through Uplay. Like, you can actually get Rayman or, you know, some of the...
Well, they have the
Prince
30... Was it, like, the 12 months that they were doing that, too?
Yeah, but now they're doing the 30 days of Christmas as well. Or the 30 days of giveaways, because, you know, you can't really say Christmas. But anyway.
Why does Nintendo own Christmas now?
Maybe. All that stuff aside, if you want to know what they're giving out, well, good news. It's all already leaked anyway, because the source code for the webpage had all the giveaways listed in it. And it was leaked to Twitter. Now, Ubisoft has since updated the page, and who knows, maybe they'll try to shuffle some things to make it play out a little differently, but we kind of know now what's going to happen. So
what's going to happen?
Those PC games I talked to you about. There's going to give away some PC games as well as some of the other stuff. So, There you go. Let's talk about what is coming out in stores this week. Loki, what's in the U.S.?
So this week we've got Blade Shield on HTC Vive, Darksiders War Mastered Edition on PC, Steins Gate Zero on PlayStation 4 and Vita, Final Fantasy 15 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Watch Dogs will be coming out on PC, Townsman on PC, Apollo Justice Ace Attorney on iOS, Maze on PC, Rad Rogers World 1 on PC, The Dwarves on PC, Mac and Linux, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Fury on Xbox One, Little Briar Rose on PC, Steep on PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and finally Super Mario Maker for 3DS.
Oh, okay.
3DS.
All right. Going over to Japan, a little game called Final Fantasy 15, I think, has people's attention. They're getting that on Tuesday, which is usually our release days, but usually I don't think Tuesday is a release day in Japan, so they are kind of shifting things to coincide with us, so that that way it's a worldwide release, so they are getting that. I would usually think a week that a Final Fantasy game is coming out, there would be nothing else, but believe it or not, there are still some releases in Japan this week on the usual Friday, December 1st, is going to see, I guess these are re-releases, Biohazard 4, 5, and 6 are all coming out from Capcom in Japan. Mm-hmm. So that is something to look forward to on PlayStation 4. The Crew Ultimate Edition as well. Dragon Quest Builders moves into the Ultimate Hits Collection and we'll get a release there. And then also God Eater 2, Rage Burst. I think that's also a price reduction. So a lot of these are just titles that are moving into greatest hits or some type of like remaster or whatever. But Watch Dogs 2 gets its release in Japan on December 1st, so you do have that to look forward to as well in Japan. Now, I'm looking at some of the other consoles. The 3DS has all Kamen Rider, Rider Revolution, comes out on December 1st. Also, Mario Maker for 3DS, also arriving in Japan this week. There's also some new amiibo from the Legend of Zelda series to go with that. The Toon Link and all that stuff is out this week. Although, yeah, I guess this is a new like Legend of Zelda series and not like just a re-release of the Super Smash Brothers ones. There's also Digimon Universe is out this week on the 3DS. Lastly, taking a look at the PlayStation Vita this week, there is a new model. There's a silver and a metallic red PlayStation Vita. Dragon Quest Builders gets its re-release price reduction as well on the Vita. And then Digimon Story also on the Vita. And Katamari Damacy, no Vita, gets a re-release, a welcome price. And Taiko no Tatsujin V version also getting that same re-release. So it looks like you get a lot of like price reductions and repackagings, things moving into like best hits type collections in Japan this week. Mm-hmm. How about the UK, Loki?
The UK, we've got Final Fantasy 15 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Watch Dogs 2 on PC, and finally, let's see, Gravity Rush 2 on PlayStation 4.
And thank you to Dark Tetsuya in chat reminding me, oh yeah, they did announce this during a Nintendo Direct some time ago, and now I'm remembering this again. There's also the 8-bit Link in the style of the NES original version and a Twilight Princess one too. That's right. So that's all hit Japan this week. So I imagine it must just be around the corner for us. I know your release date thing doesn't track Amiibo, but I can't imagine it's not also releasing here real soon.
Probably
another way for Nintendo to make a little bit of money going into the holiday. So let's get into, excuse me, guys, I'm still getting over that cough. Let's get into the mailbag, of which I think we have like one email this week. So we're going to get into tonight's email. Where's my email music? Here it is. Every week, you guys email us. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us an email, and we will read your emails here on air. And this is the only email I believe we have this week, which I think just missed the cutoff for last week's show. I think it came in during the show, so I'm going to read it now. This is an email from Redertainment, who says, Dearest denizens of Podtopia, that time of year has come again, that time of year when my parents start to bug me about what I want for Christmas. Since I'm an adult who's pretty good at buying his own thing, I don't have any ideas for what my parents can get me for Christmas. Do any of you have any ideas? Note, my parents won't buy me anything gaming related. Don't ask why, it's just that way. Redertainment. Well, if they're not going to get you anything gaming related, I don't know if this is the show to be emailing, to be fair. What else do you like, Reddertainment?
Ask him to give you an Amazon gift card.
Yeah, yes. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Ask for gift cards for Amazon, Toys R Us, Target, and then you can go buy video games. Huh? I think you just have to outsmart him a little bit, Reddertainment. That's how you're going to get the video games. I don't know. Are you into Legos? I was looking at Legos at Toys R Us the other day. There's a lot of fun
They're
sets.
They're so expensive, but yeah, I've won all of them.
Now they finally have a they release like a generic set for Toys R Us that's just like, here's a variety of blocks in different colors for like $60 for a ton of blocks. You know what else came back from my childhood that I was not prepared to see at Toys R Us? Domino Rally. You remember that? You ever, Domino Rally's back. I think you should buy that for your kids. Provided the little one won't try to eat the dominoes.
No, maybe. He won't eat the dominoes, but here's what will happen, and this is just like with any of the blocks that they have. They will throw them around the room. They'll land on the floor. They won't pick them up off the floor, and my cat will knock them under the couch because that's what she does. Or they'll throw them under the couch, and then like, hey, went under the couch. I'll get them out from under the couch, and they'll do it again.
All right. Since we're not very good at coming up with ideas for entertainment, one thing we love to do here at Orange Lounge Radio, we crowdsource to our chat room. So here's some ideas for you, entertainment, from our chat room at live.vognetwork.com. SSGO100 Matt suggests Crystal Pepsi. Let's see. SSGO100 Matt also suggests a puppy or a wife. I'm sorry, a puppy or a kitten. And Akuma JP said, get a wife. That's actually like a wife with a W, not get a wife.
Don't. if you don't have to.
Rasionator suggests a hooker. Akuma JP suggests a monoprice 3D printer.
I would love a 3D printer.
A 3D printer might be fun. That's actually a really good idea.
I would love a 3D printer.
There you go. So there's something. Then you can 3D print all the gaming things.
I would want to build a 3D printer, but they never have a build base that's large enough for me, and I haven't found any instructions on how to make larger 3D printers by combining, you know, some of those hotbeds and stuff, but yeah. I would love a 3D printer.
All right, so there it is. Some suggestions from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. All right. Let's move on with more show. We're going to get back into some news, right, Loki?
Yes. So Sony's got some stuff coming to the – or some surprises coming, I guess, to the PlayStation Experience. They have a full list of games, but there's also some unannounced panels as well. So some of the stuff that they're bringing, like Ace Combat 7 looks pretty cool, especially that's supposed to have some VR as well. A lot of games are already out already, like Batman Arkham VR, Bound. Let's see if there's anything else that's really kind of standout-ish. Full Throttle Remastered. I didn't realize that was being remastered. That's kind of cool. So that's something that's going to be coming. Gran Turismo Sport. There's a new Hatsune Miku game, Project Diva Future Tone. Horizon Zero Dawn looks pretty cool. Let's see. Nihog 2. Let's see. Resident Evil 7. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Lots of PlayStation VR stuff. Sonic Mania. But one of the things that hopefully will be there, and this is, of course, a huge rumor, is...
which, by the way, I just want to say, I think has already been disproven, just so you know.
Okay, well, I hope it's undisproven, but the thought was maybe during the whole Capcom Cup, they're going to make an announcement for a new game, and the hopes were for Marvel vs. Capcom 4. I would love to see that, but I don't think that's going to happen. And apparently that, yeah, as you mentioned, has been disproven, so...
Womp womp. Yes. Yeah, I'd heard about the whole Marvel vs. Capcom rumor, and you know the reaction from some of my friends I was with was weren't there a lot of issues with licensing in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 towards the end? So it seemed very unlikely that a 4 would actually happen.
You never know; they could work that stuff That's out. True. I mean, I don't know. That's true. It would be a place to announce it, I would think, but maybe not. We'll have to see.
I like surprises, though. So
I would even be fine if you can't do a Marvel vs. Capcom game, maybe like a guest character for, you know, Street Fighter or something like that.
That would be fun.
I don't know if they're going to do that, though. But yeah, so too bad. Well, there's some announcements, at least, we know. So hopefully we can expect some surprises.
All right, well, moving on to talk about... Oh, I like this. Dark Tetsuya says maybe we'll get Capcom vs. SNK 3. Oh man, I would be so here for that if that happened. I would be so excited. I'm not really.
That I could see because you know SNK seems to be pretty open to that kind of stuff. So maybe.
Maybe SNK would be developing it, although I preferred Capcom's version back in the day. But, you know, I'd still be excited if that was an actual thing that happened. Anyhow, moving on to something we were talking about earlier in the show, the NES Classic Edition's controller and why it's so darn short. Apparently, some research has been done on this issue, and the issue with this is the communication protocol that is used. Is that apparently this is a high-speed chip-to-chip communication, but the length, I guess, for this communication to actually work is the length, basically, that the cord is at right now. Why didn't they do a thicker cable? Well, it would have been more expensive and, I guess, less practical when we talk about more expensive, because I guess $60 for this system may have already been pushing it. I don't know. But there's also talk about extension cables, saying that they work, but they're pushing the limit of the protocol, and you might get communication errors, but you just may not notice them while you're playing. Why didn't Nintendo just use something else? Well, because if that was the case, then they would have to make new controllers for the Mini that weren't necessarily compatible with the Wii and the Wii U, which I guess would
have been expensive.
So what? I'm with that.
Exactly.
With
it's
you.
Like, who so gives what? A fuck? You know what you could have done? You could have made the fucking original NES controllers. Hey, imagine that. You can make an NES controller and it just fucking works because you build the port in there. I don't understand why they had to have compatibility with the Wii U and the Wii in the first place.
I don't understand why this can't just plug into the Wii remote just like the classic controller does. And I've never had a problem with Virtual Console or any of that, so I don't buy any of this shit.
Yeah,
with lag.
What kind of fucking chip to chip protocol only works at 2 feet away? But oh, well, those additional feet—that's really pushing it. That's a bullshit right there.
It's technology from 1982. That's why it's technology from 1982.
No, fuck that. And you know why that doesn't make any fucking sense? Because technology from it was analog. Okay, it was analog fucking stuff that they had working there, and they had 8-foot cables on the original NES controller. So, and now it doesn't fucking work? I don't think so. It's just a bullshit excuse. I'll tell you why. What they probably had standard size cables because those 2-foot cables were meant to be plugged into a Wii remote that was wireless anyway, so they didn't need to have an 8-foot long fucking cable and then in order to keep parity between their other accessories. Maybe they had some sort of internal guidelines that they had to do for these stupid accessories. That's why the cable's that long. It's not because of fucking, oh, the chip can't fucking handle it, because that's stupid. Then use a different chip. Or use a fucking chip that you had in the fucking 80s, because that shit works just fine. It's a whole bunch of nonsense and bullshit.
I'll try to nudge Loki on some of these rants, but this one I kind of agree with.
Because if the extension cables work just fine, I'm sorry, there's a potential that it could, you know, it might not work. I don't think so. I think it's dumb.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on, Loki. Calm down and go to the next story.
This is so stupid. Like, just say, listen, it was too expensive to have the longer cords. Just keep it that. We wanted to keep the cost of the system down. It was too expensive to have longer cords. Or, like, we wanted to ensure compatibility with the Wii U or the Wii. And so because, you know, all of our accessories have a certain cord length, that's why. I mean, mate, give a fucking honest answer instead of trying to bullshit us with this. That's the worst part about it. I hate fucking PR responses is what I hate. So Pokemon Go's gotten some updates lately, and this is actually kind of interesting stuff. They're really trying to get players back into the game. So one of the things that they added was a new Pokemon. So you can actually catch Ditto now. And Ditto's kind of a unique character, obviously, because with Ditto, you're actually not really catching Ditto. You're catching something else, and it ends up being a Ditto. And then what's kind of cool is when you actually take Ditto and fight him against other Pokemon in the gym, it'll turn into those Pokemon. So it's kind of neat to see that unique gameplay with Ditto.
I caught a Ditto here at the house. It was a Rattata.
But yeah, I'll have to play a little bit more to check it out. Also, if you're interested in checking it out again, you'll be happy to know that they're doing a double XP and Stardust event. So it's going to be running between now and November 30th. So you got a few more days left of that, so go check it out. And along with that, they've also expanded the nearby and sightings features. So now instead of just having, you know, this no distance whatsoever. It's kind of giving you like pokey stops that things are nearby, kind of like what they were doing in like San Francisco for a long time, but now it's kind of expanded outwards.
If you live west of the Mississippi.
Right.
Sorry, yeah. New York.
So, Boston, yeah, apparently Miami. It's available now. Yeah, west of the Mississippi, except for Hawaii and Alaska in America, and in British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, in the western half of Ontario, Canada, and all of Australia. I don't get why they're rolling out, whatever.
Well, my hope is that that was pretty quickly after they expanded the San Francisco Bay Area part. So maybe you guys will get this, when I say you guys, the East Coast will get this like in a matter of a week or two and not much more. So I hope for you guys. I hope so.
Oh.
All right. Have you played much Pokemon Go, Loki,
no.
Since this that changes?
No. I turned it on the other day, and that's when I found out that they had updated the nearby thing. Because I was trying to see if there was like maybe a Ditto nearby, but then I turned it right off.
Yeah, we caught a Charmander here, and actually, we must live in a Pikachu nest because Pikachu shows up all the time. In fact, I just brought it up to see if maybe there was one available, and sadly, there's not. But there is a 429 Eevee available right now. It's a pretty good CP roll for an Eevee, so I might try to catch that there to try to evolve it later. We'll see. Anyway, so I'm still doing the Pokemon Go thing, but then again, you know. I also still play a lot of Ingress and all that other stuff, so I'm a fan of location-based gaming. What can I say? Well, yeah. There we go. Back to my 3-day streak by catching that Eevee. I'm proud of myself. All right, moving on to a story about Xbox One, and you know, I got to admit, as much as I enjoy the Xbox One and it's got a lot of great games, the UI still feels clunky to me, and that's certainly because of the fact that it was designed for the Kinect, where if I had a Kinect, it might feel less clunky. But a lot of people, like myself, don't have the Kinect anymore. So things like Snap Mode feel a little strange. Like, I realize some of you might think I'm weird, but I just cannot get used to it on the controller. It doesn't feel right to me. Well, Xbox One, they might get rid of it. But the reason doesn't have to do with people like me bitching. The reason why this might happen is because the Snap Mode is based around the Windows 8 dashboard system. And of course, obviously, things have upgraded a little bit since Windows 8. So apparently, according to a report from Windows Central, Microsoft is looking into a system that will replace Snap Mode with something more picture-in-picture, which is more compatible with the Universal Windows Platform apps. So unfortunately, don't know a lot more about it besides that. But if any UI alterations are coming, they're probably going to come next year around the same time we start to learn more about Project Scorpio and whatever the real name is behind that, which I'm sure we will learn all about at E3 2017. But Loki, I don't think you have an Xbox One, right? That's the one you don't have.
So no, I don't.
You don't have really have to worry about the whole Snap Mode. It's a little weird to me.
It looked weird.
Like, again, it's kind of sad, but it's true. Like, the best UI that Microsoft ever had was the original 360 interface. It really was.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sucks that now it's just like, it's too convoluted. Sorry. That doesn't mean there aren't some great games on Xbox One, but it's just the UI is kind of a
pain. I want to get an Xbox One. I almost picked a couple up, you know, but I'm just still going to wait a little bit longer. They will come down in price even more. And
especially next E3, you know.
I don't know if I really wanted a Scorpio because I don't... I have to really see what the gains are from that. Just I don't know if it's going to be worth it for the price, but we'll see.
Well, again, isn't the Scorpio supposed to be kind of like a Pro where the games will still work on Xbox One?
But they're all supposed to scale up because it's like the Windows 10, I guess, where it scales everything.
Right, right.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. Just a couple more stories for you guys, then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. We're almost to the end, believe it. I told you it was lighter news week, so we may finish a little early tonight. I don't know. It just depends on calls. Loki?
So the console version of Minecraft is getting quite an update. So they're going to be bringing almost all of the PC's additions to the consoles with the holiday update. And so with that, they're going to have the some of the things they're adding, the Eltria wings, that I guess allow you to fly and glide, the amplified terrain, end cities, dragon's breath potion ingredients, and more. Also, they're including new UI, new mobs, items, blocks, status effects, and I guess Eltria. You'll find the Eltria in the end, But yeah, I mean, God, it's been so long since I played Minecraft in cities. I have no fucking clue what that is. I'm interested to see. I know they have like these new cabins and stuff on the PC version with the Illagers. Wonder if that's coming in later on. But it's nice to see the consoles kind of catching up. And also hopefully mod support soon, because I know that they do have that on the Pocket Edition where you can do like some sort of like basic mods with that. It'd be kind of cool to see that on console as well. I was telling my son about this because I'm like, hey, they're going to be doing an update for the Wii U version pretty soon. You got to check it out, because he plays it every week. So he was checking out actually this week the Chinese mythology skin that they have on there, because they have all these like free skins and each one has its own world with it. And what's kind of cool, I don't remember those being free on like Xbox 360 and stuff, but for whatever reason on Wii U they are. And so yeah, like the Mass Effect, he's like been in the Mass Effect one before and the Skyrim one, and but the Chinese mythology one is pretty cool. I like the music in that, so looking forward to it. I'm sure my son's looking forward to it more than I am.
Yeah, I love that these console versions are still getting updates all this time.
I really
later,
need to
know?
Go back and play again, because it's, yeah, been,
it's
been a long time.
It's been
time.
A while for me too.
There's a lot of like, I don't think there's a lot of it's still too kind of like open ended as far as what you need to do in the game. I think it'd be cool if they had like, you know, a little bit of the monster Monster Quest Builders type stuff in there. You know, a little bit like that where you can actually build like a village and there's a little bit of questing around that. That would be kind of cool if they had that in the Minecraft. But I don't know, it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, last but not least tonight, a story about Origin. That's right, EA's online store platform, which we haven't talked about in quite a while. I can't imagine why. But anyhow, EA has made some updates to the Origin store with some new features, and that is to add items to your wish list and the ability to gift games and DLCs to other users. Both of them just went live just in time for Black Friday, which I think they're having a sale that's still going, which, by the way, you know, as much as I throw a little casual shade at Origin now and then, they have made a lot of improvements since the early day when we used to really bag on them. And the fact that the Mass Effect trilogy is available for like $19. I think it's either $19.99 or it's $24.99, which is a steal for those three games. So, you know, just a cheap plug for that there if you've never played the games. If Extifer happens to be listening out there, because he even just wrote a tweet earlier tonight that said, I'm thinking about getting into Mass Effect because Rob and Shane wouldn't shut up about it this weekend. Anyway, but what's interesting, though, is that despite the fact that they're finally adding these features, which seem like kind of like, oh, aren't these kind of normal for stores? Well, apparently they do have limitations. For example, you can only gift already released content, not pre-orders, and that includes DLC. Well, I guess that is reasonable. You can only gift something that's already out. But you can only gift EA-published games, not third-party content. You can't gift virtual currency. You can't gift bundles that have virtual currency. And you can only gift to friends in the same country as you.
I think that's good, especially with all the things that they've had via the EA hacks with the whole FIFA cards and stuff.
I suppose that's
I'm kind
true.
Of okay with that.
Okay. All right. That's a good perspective. I wasn't thinking about that. But, you know, Steam does have the ability to gift across different regions and so forth. But Steam has also had, not rampant, but they've had some problems in the past with, you know, some hacking and so forth. You know, kind of the same type of exploits about, you know, giveaways in certain games and what, like selling those in the marketplace for lots of money, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyway, maybe a little explanation as to why EA's system is a little more limited. Anyway, that is going to do it for the news this week, but we are now going to open up the Skype line for you guys to have your say. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, is the place to be if you want to give us a call to talk about anything we've talked about so far tonight and your perspective on it, or maybe something we missed that you're really passionate about. Again, that's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, or if you prefer to do things old school, you can, 1-877-GAME-OLR. But I think most people are on Skype these days. We are getting a call on the line, so let's get to it. And hello there, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Sterlock.
Hey, Sterlock, buddy. How you doing?
Not too bad.
What's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Not too much. I wanted to talk a little bit about Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Oh, please do. How are you enjoying Pokemon Sun and Moon?
A lot, actually. I was afraid that I didn't intend on buying it at first because of the removal of the whole grid system.
Right, and so our listeners remember, if they haven't heard a call from you before, you are a blind gamer. So
yep.
Sometimes these accessibility things are very important. yeah, getting rid of the grid system where you would, you know, be able to, when you move up, down, left, right, you kind of know where you are based on how many times you press the button. That kind of goes away in this, right?
Yeah, but it's actually... See, I was envisioning, like, if you guys remember Lumia City from X and Y, and how much of a mess that was, like, to move, I was kind of imagining something kind of like that. And it's actually not. It's not easy, like, particularly to... or as easy to move around as it was previously, but it's still doable, and I've been able to progress. So,
about how far in the game are you right now?
Not too far at all, just because I haven't played a whole lot. But I'm just got to the big city on the first island where you can change your customize your character and stuff.
Oh right, okay, yeah.
And about to fight Team Skull for the first time.
It takes a little time to get there. I mean, the beginning of the game's kind of long, so
a lot of cutscenes.
There is. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the beginning of the game, but you know, it's kind of the same as most Pokemon stories. Is that we just moved to this new town, and now I'm going to leave for a long time to go catch Pokemon. It's kind of the
what I
set up.
What I think is interesting is that your character in Sun and Moon actually comes from Kanto, which is the region of Red, Blue, and Yellow.
Yep.
So it's kind of a nice nod to, you know, being the 20th anniversary game.
Well, that and the fact that, you know, you have the remakes of the Gen 1 Pokemon that show up as well. You know, they have the Alolan forms that are there, which apparently the Gen 1 originals are in the game. You will see them when we open up the Pokemon Bank and all that stuff. So you will have the possibility of Alolan Raichu for fighting, you know, Gen 1 Raichu. That's going to happen. But, you know, there's a lot of the throwbacks to Gen 1 with also Red and Blue are characters in the game.
What I like, too, is about the Alolan forms is their typings are different, too, which is pretty interesting.
Definitely mixes the game up a little bit. Any favorite Pokemon early on, or maybe from things you've seen in trailers or you know, heard about online or whatever?
I don't know. The starters are pretty cool.
I at Toys R Us this weekend, I wasn't prepared to see this. They had the stuffed animal versions of the starter toys.
Aww.
But they were gigantic. Instead of being like the little sized ones, I already have the trio that you can get at GameStop, which are more the little size. These were gigantic, like the.
So they're like carnival.
Yeah, they're like carnival sizes. Huh. Where like the Litten's head is as big as my own head. I swear. For those that would want to check it out on my Instagram, which I think is public. I don't know, but I actually posted a picture of me with this huge Litten. I'm sure Tiger Claw can dig up the link for you guys and put it in chat.
That's hilarious.
But you can actually see this thing is like as big as my face. So
nice.
But they were $75. Each.
Well, yeah, for something that size.
Right? So they were huge. And
hey,
was so funny.
You didn't even have to like play, you know, $600 worth of skee ball to get them.
Yeah, $75 doesn't seem so expensive when you put it that way. and a lot of my friends on Facebook were asking, "Where's Popplio?" And I said, "I'm not letting that thing in the picture." Cuz I'm so rude. But guess what? I have the starters right now in my Pokemon party, including Popplio.
Yay. So. Speaking of not gaming related, but did you hear about that whole thing that came out? It was either earlier this year or maybe last year with that guy that was trying to like sue a carnival because he spent like thousands of dollars trying to get a like one of those stupid bananas or something like that.
Well, if the game was rigged so he couldn't win at all, there might be a case. But otherwise, there's a certain risk reward. I think you kind of know going into it. I mean, he would have to prove that it was completely faulty for him to have any merit or something.
Yeah. I think the guy was just salty because he spent a bunch of money. And
that's what it sounds like. You got to be careful with those carnival games. Don't ever assume you're going to win anything more than a little piece of shit. Like, what are the little crappy prizes they give you?
Spider rings.
Spider rings.
The spider rings.
Yeah, erasers.
Yeah, erasers and spider rings and Tootsie Rolls. That's going to be about the extent, stickers. That's going to be about the extent of what you win.
Yep.
Well, actually, it was, yeah, we spent like about $10 at one of the arcades, and they were playing the ticket machines, and one of the things that they got were stamps. Like, my kids got stamps that like had a soccer ball or football on it. Those things are a piece of shit, but they love them. They like kids eat that crap up.
That's
because
funny.
They're just like, ooh, a stamp. I can stamp myself.
Yeah, and then they stamp everything. They stamp the walls. Then they stamp dinner plates and stuff.
Usually just themselves.
Yeah. Also, what was I going to say with that whole thing? At round one, because they have a ton of claw machines there at round one, I have seen grown adults, no different than you or me, drop so much money into that to try to win like a little Kirby or something like that. I could just imagine Act Deft being there, just spending all the money trying to win a Kirby.
I can't really talk because I will do the same fucking thing in Record Keeper, trying to go after a specific relic.
I guess it happens to the best of us.
One more 11 pulls. Ah, damn it.
We all have our weaknesses. All right, Sturlock, my friend, I'm going to let you go to get some more calls, but keep enjoying Pokemon, all right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm also looking forward to Final Fantasy 15 : Dude, Where's My Chocobo?
Me too. I hope the story is as in depth as other episodes. I've just been really trying to avoid spoilers to keep it a surprise. So
yeah, should be interesting. I mean, the game's been in development for 10 years.
Just 10 years. You know, no biggie. All right, my friend. Take care.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's the other thing that makes 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. That's the other thing that makes this Final Fantasy 15 such a big deal is that, you know, we've been waiting 10 years for this game. I mean, the E3 where this was announced was like one of our first E3s. That must have been the Paris Hilton year, the year I called the Paris Hilton E3. That was the one where the Wii, it was the last big E3 before they clamped down to the airport. That was the E3 where Final Fantasy Versus 13 was announced, if I remember right. You went that year, right? We went to the Square Enix Theater, and they had like all the different trailers, right? That was our big appointment, was we got to sit and watch a bunch of trailers. But it was great, the presentation. So,
yeah, was that the year that they announced 13 and then 14?
Was it that year?
Or was it the year before?
Or was it 2009 when that happened? No, I feel like that was the year. 2006 was the year they announced all of them, but I don't think the game actually showed up until like 2009. I think it was the year that they announced Final Fantasy 13 was coming and 14. And that was a big like, ooh, ah moment. And that was the first E3 back at the convention center after the two down years. So, yeah, everybody thought he made a mistake when he said Final Fantasy 14 was going to be coming to PlayStation 3. We all thought he meant 13 Versus, but then, nope, they showed that trailer that, nope, it is really Final Fantasy 14 online. And I just remember,
like, oh my goodness!
I know, I started scream crying in, like, Sony's booth because I wasn't at the, but Sony's booth, you could just walk in and watch the press conference. And when I saw that, I just was, like hyperventilating tears because, you know, I'd played so many hours of 11. And then for that game to come out and for it to be so fucking bad, bad when it first came out. But thankfully they fixed the
See, if they, can come back from, if they can come back from that,
That's
then
right.
No Man's Sky can come back from
That's right.
the mess that it is.
That's right. Diablo 3 came back from its original release. That's just the world of games we live in now. If Final Fantasy 15 sucks when they release it, you know what? They'll just patch it next year. They're not going to kill the Final Fantasy brand that easy. Dungeon Buster in chat says, the good old Fabula Nova Crystallis constellation of Final Fantasy 13 games. Yeah, of which Type Zero was the other one, right? It was originally supposed to be a mobile game, and they kind of sort of, like, it ended up being on the Vita, and then they did the PS4 release and all that. That was also part of the 13 trilogy, or 13 Fabula
And none of it, which seems to tie together with anything.
Yeah, right? None of them seem to tie together to anything. I don't think Final Fantasy 15 is supposed to, but, I mean, they've had a decade. They probably changed the story to really separate it from 13.
Yeah.
my thought was a lot of those stories were tied into maybe what we got in 13.2 and Lightning Returns, which I still always want to call 13.3. All right. One more shout out for calls. Orange Lounge Radio on Skype or the old fashioned way, 1-877-GAME-OLR. Any last minute stories you want to bring up, Logie? It's been kind of a slur. I don't know if there's a lot else.
There was one thing we didn't mention. There was a Majora's Mask fan film
you can
go check out. It's animated. Some guy worked on it. So it's called Majora's Mask Terrible Fate. So go check that out on YouTube. It's pretty cool. That's sadly it.
All right. Well, I don't see the phone lighting up. I think we probably have a few less live folks tonight because of some folks traveling back from the holiday weekend. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up and call it a night here at Orange Lounge Radio. But thank you guys, as always, for your support. Thank you for downloading the podcast and listening to it or listening live. However you support Orange Lounge Radio, we really appreciate it. We don't ask for your money here, but we do ask you to help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show or leave us a nice 5-star review wherever you found this show, at a place like iTunes, Google Play Podcast, or all those different TuneIn or any place that you may have found Orange Lounge Radio. We really appreciate you guys spreading the word. Don't forget to email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. You can also comment on our shows at vognetwork.com when they're posted. And you can also tweet us, twitter.com/OLR. But that is pretty much going to do it for another episode of OLR. Loki, enjoy the Crystal Pepsi. And good luck with programming. Oh, you really did almost finish that.
I'll enjoy, yes, all 58 grams of sugar in this.
Yeah, have a good week. We'll see you next time. Any closing thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I'll try working on my game some more, but no guarantees because I have Skyrim. And so, that is distracting. It's very tempting and to just waste hours of time, which is basically doing the same quests I've done over and over and over again. It's just like, but it's funny because there's so many of them, I forget what they are half the time, so.
Well, I will not be promising any work on a game of mine because I know Final Fantasy.
Oh yeah, Final Fantasy 15, of course. Yeah, that's coming out tomorrow. So.
Yep, that's pretty much that. But I will look forward to seeing you guys potentially on a live stream or I do have the PS4 Pro. You know, one advantage of the PS4 Pro, it does stream at 60 frames a second. I was looking at a Extrovert was streaming Overwatch and it looked great. So I'm excited to do some streaming in 60 frames a second. That'll be fun. So thank you guys very much for. Downloading and checking out the show. I don't really have a final thought besides that. I'm looking forward to Final Fantasy 15. And you could, I guess, a cheap plug for my Twitch stream over at Rob Roberts, which I Loki, you do you ever stream anymore? I think I have your name. I think Loki OLR on Twitch, right? I think I have you set up.
I don't even remember what my login is, to be honest. So I'm probably not. I don't tend to do that because if I'm playing games, it's most likely my wife's watching Netflix or something.
Gotcha.
Or even then, I don't talk over anything because if I have a headset on, my voice is loud. Yeah. It'll wake up the wife. It'll wake up everybody. Or like they're watching TV. That's just irritating.
You gotta be stealthy.
So the last time I was able to even play online games with a headset was in the garage. And I'm not doing that.
Fair enough. All right, well, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great gaming. Those of you guys that are going to play Final Fantasy 15 this week, enjoy it. I hope it's great. I'm hoping with you guys. For those that are playing other games this week, have fun. And we will see you in 7 days for another edition of Orange Lounge Radio to talk about the Game Awards and to talk about the PlayStation experience. It's going to be a busy week next week. We will see you then in 7 days. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.